Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Million Dollar Listing, James Harris and Mauricio Umansky. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit with Vinny Tortorich. And now, with apologies to Vinny for all the sugar his kids brought home this week, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love what you do when you share the show with your friends. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Information is a good thing. Yeah.
Which?
And Vinny Tortorich here.
Hashtag me too.
Vinny, wow. Vinny Tortorich is going to coach everybody up.
He's so contemptuous of women who've been sexually abused.
I like that.
Hey, I'm a sexual. Listen, it's Hollywood.
Sure.
It happens to everyone.
We got
That's
you.
Right.
You don't think it didn't happen to me? What? I'm ugly? I'm chopped
Far
liver?
From it. Put a picture up of the conch shell.
You've seen it. You've seen the plate.
Buddy, I've seen it.
Gina, you were made eats to off do, of it every
I
night.
Oh, yeah. I can't unsee it.
You were made to do some horrible things.
Again. It's all should be solved, but it is a very slippery slope when everything is assault, everything is abuse, everything's physical abuse, everything's sexual abuse, then we cannot sort it out at all. Every female comedian or female star who writes a book, they're going to get paid millions of dollars. They have to have the story where they were raped in the book. And then the rape story doesn't sound like any rape story you've heard of in the past. And all I'm saying is we have these degrees for everything in life. The reason we have to is because we need to know in life the difference between a fender bender and the car being totaled. There is a difference. If we call everything totaled, then it's going to be really hard for all of us and the insurance companies and everyone to gauge everything. I don't think it's insensitive to have murder one, capital murder, or murder with special circumstances, manslaughter. Yeah. I think we'd like to know the difference between shot in the head while jogging in the park and this guy clipped me when he was backing out of his driveway and I was jogging behind him and he was futzing with the windshield wipers. Like, we want that difference. And that's all I'm saying about assault. If everything is assault, everything is rape, then nobody knows.
Nothing is.
What, and it's unfair to whoever gets the jogging in the park rape because we don't know what is. But again, it's like saying seeing impaired or blind or whatever. Yes.
It's the same argument, which I agree with, of like, you know, three strikes laws. Like, you know, the guy was arrested three times for marijuana, you know, distribution or intent to sell, when clearly it's not the same thing as having, you know, a serious narcotic or a dangerous weapon or whatever. But these all fall under the same, you know,
I'll
strikes.
Give you a better one. Also,
wow.
I will do better. Also, the three strikes thing for me, I'm mixed about, because like his third strike was stealing a bag of Funyuns, a small size bag of Funyuns. Like, if that asshole doesn't know any better at this point with two strikes, not to steal the 55-cent thing of Funyuns, maybe we don't need him around. But better, a little more Mark Garagos than me. The having to register as a sexual predator, have to be registered as sexual. You could have raped a van full of disabled kids, and or you could be 19 and have consensual sex with your 17-year-old girlfriend who's more mature than you are.
You're on the same list.
Same deal.
And you could have been taking a leak on your front lawn with a couple beers in you and exposed, could be public exposure. No need to put everyone on the same list, because as someone who lives in a community, I want to know the difference between the guy who had consensual sex with his girlfriend of 4 years, even though they were separated by 18 months. I want to know the difference between that and the guy who's at the park luring kids into a van. The predator. Right.
Adam, you're into cars. My younger brother has been a car broker his entire life.
And a pedophile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
One and the same.
And he tells me, he goes, like, Carfax, it doesn't matter if the car had a scrape, if the insurance company knew about it, and it just had like a ding on the door that you claimed on insurance, that in the total is the same thing. Carfax doesn't tell you which one it was.
Oh, they got to straighten that out.
They just say...
But wait a minute. When a car's totaled, like when the insurance company proclaims
it's
totaled...
Well, you could do a retitle. That's a whole different thing.
That's went into a swamp upside down versus an accident. I mean, there's got to be a difference between totaled and an accident.
I will find out for the next show.
Gary's going to find out.
He said, hey, he goes, if it's a scrape, we don't know if it was...
We don't know if it was in a bad accident or a scrape, but not totaled. If it was totaled,
you have to retitle it. That's a retitled car.
Wait a minute. You know when you're making an argument and then someone starts making your argument mid-argument back at you?
I
think you just did that. All right, but I agree. We'd all like to know the difference between a little dent in the fender and the front end taken out, and it was repaired, not totaled.
When it comes to cars and women.
All right. You know, I have my list of things I'd like to do.
Yes.
You know, before
some people have bucket list, like, you know, visit Europe.
Before I die.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you have it.
I have it right here.
You have that list.
You keep her list at all times?
Yes.
You never know what Adam's going to ask for his bucket list.
Gina wears a quarterback wristband, and in embossed in it is my list. So I will read this
list. It's
like
a keynote card. He's constantly striking things off of it.
I'm going to add two to the list.
Ooh.
Two to the list.
Should we refresh some things on the list?
Oh, for sure.
We're doing the list first.
Okay.
List first, Gina Grad, and then I will tell you, I sat around last night, and I thought I'm going to add two.
Life goals. Bucket
to this list.
Yeah. It's an ample list, so strap in. Here we go. Over the years, I've prepared a list of things I want to do before I die. Have my hands registered as weapons, get kicked out of a casino for winning, jump into a body of water with a knife between my teeth.
Make sure the knife's facing the right way.
Of course. Have a cape removed on stage. Have a sports jersey pulled over a nice suit.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's either bought the team or he went number one in the draft or somebody pulls their jersey with number one. Your number's not number one, but it's number one on the jersey.
Be killed by the person I told to kill me if I started to become a zombie. Wipe down a gun. Silently communicate / point to my watch underwater.
My watch, underwater.
You're doing the dive, but you're trying to communicate the word. The clock's ticking.
Punch out my undercover partner who's about to say something he shouldn't and blow our cover. Play bass in an all-black band, be the only white guy, and whisper something on stage to the conga player and then laugh.
That's going to be a tough one, because bass is the funkiest instrument.
I know, that's
band.
Why. Man, it's a bass player. This guy's got to be, he's got to have the moves, man. He's got to have a lot of soul if he's playing bass in an all-black band.
Put my
and crack up the conga guy who's, you know, his relationship with English is a little tough, so it's hard to get the jokes across.
You know who might be closer to that goal than you? Jeff Cesario.
He played the conga.
Yeah.
That's right.
Put my hand over the mouth of a beautiful woman to stop her from screaming and alerting the bad guys. Get shot at and brush it off saying, I ain't got time to bleed. Be able to say someone attempted suicide over me. She threw herself on train tracks. Catch a punch and twist the guy's hand until he goes down to his knees.
That's strong. Literally.
Have a celebrity shorten my name in an interview. Bobby De Niro says working with Ace was great. Be embroiled in a lawsuit that leads to a heroic story. I broke the leg of a gangbanger robbing a liquor store, and now he's suing me.
Yep.
It's good.
Stop a crime by throwing something. A guy steals a purse and starts running. I throw a can of corn football style and knock him out. Track someone. I dismount my horse, then do that low squat.
You blaze past, track someone?
No, this is part of it.
Oh, that was standalone.
Where I pick up a clump of dirt, let it sift through my fingers. That's how he's tracking
me. I'm thinking when I'm tracking somebody.
Hawk a championship belt or Super Bowl ring at a pawn shop when I hit rock bottom. Shout, release the hounds. Be lost in the Utah desert with a hot chick, then come across an old Indian guy and speak his language.
Oh, yeah. When she sees me speak Navajo,
that's right.
She's so impressed.
It's on. Pull a fake mustache off someone and shout, aha! Have a hot towel on my face at a barbershop with a cigar sticking out.
Ooh. That's doable. You can cross that one off today.
Dislocate my shoulder to get out of a straitjacket. Snap Larry King's suspenders and turn him into a pile of ashes.
Time's running out on that one.
Shout, not on my watch. Direct a movie called Awesome so that entertainment shows will have to refer to me as Awesome Director Adam Carolla. Mm. Then follow it up with a sequel, Hung Like a Rhino. Drive a car off a pier into a garbage barge.
Yeah, I gotta make the leap. I gotta add
for
this.
For some reason, they always get lift off the end of the pier.
I have a super squeamish passenger who's like, no! And as I floor it, hang on, I yell.
Yep.
We get air.
That's good.
Onto the garbage barge.
Be stripped of a crown.
Yeah.
Tell my team to synchronize watches.
Mm-hmm.
Dry shave with a machete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh.
Pull down a surgical mask and say, there's nothing I could do. Or beat someone on the chest and shout, live, damn you! Box a kangaroo. Demand unmarked bills.
We got a live show going in Australia. You could pull off the box kangaroo thing.
My grandfather did that. Yeah. He lost. Drape a suit jacket over handcuffs in front of you like John Gotti.
Oh, yeah. So obscure that you're being
so nobody knows.
Perp walk.
Fend off a Kodiak bear with a torch.
The idea of the draping thing, so you can have a dignified walk surrounded by cops and lawyers. So
yeah, photogs.
As you're being arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Pop the locks off an attaché case full of money and slide it across a table.
Good.
Be tied to a chair with a hot chick. Have to choose between cutting a red wire and a blue wire. And finally, fight someone on top of a moving train.
Yeah.
All good.
Ambitious.
All good.
It's a good thing you waited to age 50-something to start them.
Do you just live in a movie?
Some of these are from certain things I may have seen
inspired by.
After you hear, I have one more. After you give these two, I think I have one for you.
Mm, okay. All right. I would like two things. I'd like to do like a sports, be an analyst, like a sports analyst, and be sitting at the desk with the three or four other former jocks.
The studio show.
Yeah, the studio show.
Not a game play-by-play, but like studio show.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and they're all wearing their finely tailored suits. Mm-hmm. And have somebody, not to me, just at home, comment that my upper arm was taking up the entire sleeve of my jacket.
Oh, wow.
You ever see those guys?
Yeah.
You, when you see guys
the
like...
The sleeves aren't tapered.
Yeah, they
feel. They literally... The guy's upper arms. When you see those NFL wrap-up shows and you see... like a guy's
Ray
like...
Ray Lewis?
Oh, Ray Lewis is one of them. The other guy...
Mark Schlereth?
Yeah,
these are types
all,
of guys.
These are all perfect.
Strahan.
One is the outside backer from SC, the perennial all-star.
Oh, Willie McGinnis.
McGinnis.
Yeah, Willie McGinnis.
The top of their suit jacket is taut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they
it's
can't,
hulking.
They don't make jackets with big enough gun spaces for these. And they're sitting there at the table and they're not flexing or anything. Their hands are just sitting at the table. And it's like, literally taut the upper part of their things. Like, how big do your arms have to be to take a suit?
To be stretched into his max
fill
capacity.
Out a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like
good.
They took it in or anything.
No, no.
It's just taking up the whole space.
Yeah, it's made for a normal size man's man's normal size arms. But there's Willie McGinnis, outside linebacker for 12 years in the NFL.
All right. Second. Yeah. I want to be.
So you want to be that?
I want that to happen. Okay. Now, I don't. No one comments to me. Someone is at home commenting.
Look at that guy, how he fills that out. Yeah.
Bizarro Adam Carolla is commenting on Adam Carolla's arms.
No, I'm not commenting.
No, what I'm saying, the version of you.
The version.
Who's watching you.
No, no.
Some dude.
Somebody's
some dude
watching. Yeah, some dude.
Who, like
possibly
you.
A chick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Be better if it was.
It'd be nice. Speaking of chicks, I'd like to be watching one of those commercials for the. Peloton bicycles, the ones with the stationary bikes, where they just have like the hottest chicks in the world who are sweating profusely and just going nuts on top of this bicycle, and then have somebody comment on one of those models, and I look up casually and go, oh, I banged her.
Oh, that's
that
great.
One. Yeah. Okay, now also, you tell me, you know I have the phoniest chick in the world, This is I'm piggybacking on this. The phoniest chick in the world is the pretty hot chick. She's 42, but she's wearing the glasses and her hair's not blown out or anything, you know, but you can tell she's got the bones. Okay. You know, she's good looking. So who's faker? The chick who's sitting at the breakfast table when the props start coming around and
she's leafing through
papers. She's got done making a Denver omelet for a man, and he comes walking in the kitchen and he says, yeah, Prop 82, I'm going to vote for that. And she went, but have you read the fine print?
I've read
and then she goes to explain to him, the hot chick who just got done making the omelet goes into great detail about all the props, and she's read every single letter of every code and everything and has memorized it and is now going to coach her husband up on Prop 182.
Sure, it sounds like a good idea.
Right, and then goes into it. That chick, who's faker?
I don't know if we're going to get much better than that.
That chick, or again, the Peloton or whatever it is. You got to show me the cycling. You got to show me that Peloton cycling.
Yeah, they're always looking at the watch at the end.
The hottest chicks in the world, they live at the goddamn Guggenheim.
Yeah.
Like, the inside of the house is just...
It's a modern art master.
Frank Lloyd Wright invents this goddamn place. And at some point, we're seeing the wrong one, but this one's probably still good. Go ahead and show it.
Good.
Piping hot chick sitting in the middle of a modern art museum. She's going nuts on this bike, and it's got to be 6 a.m. because the kids and the dad are holding a cup of coffee, and she's going to spring off that bike and make everyone flapjacks and an omelet. But they just take the best-looking people in the world, put them on the bike, have them going... Now, I don't know why she has kids. She's 26. I don't know why she has a 9-year-old. And I don't know where the husband is. And the house is amazing. And then at some point, the guy comes downstairs and she gives him a, yay, that a boy. And who is this chick?
The guy stumbles out. Yeah, what's all the noise?
And then her whole move is like, oh, I gotta hurry and make breakfast for everyone in the family because I don't want to get into trouble.
Yeah. I feel like she might have some sort of disorder.
Yeah.
You know?
Is addicted to working out?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, who's the 26-year-old with the 9-year-old who does nothing but make breakfast and living in the Guggenheim? I show me the other one where it has all the hot chicks, and she's like, they're down there just sawing away every morning. Yo, here's a more realistic depiction of the hot chick. Okay. The dude gets up at 9:45 and she goes, what are you doing? And he goes, I've got to brush my teeth. Do it in the other room.
Do you have to do it so loudly?
I got to go to work. Well, brush in the other room. And then she goes, ugh. And then her head goes back to the pillow.
What are you doing? You're tying your shoes.
These are not the commercials I'm seeing. Sorry. The next one's just a bevy of hot models on those bikes, just looking piping hot and sweating away. All right. Faker, this is probably it. Faker person. The chick who's up at 5:45 pedaling her ass off for an hour and a half and then making breakfast for the family inside the Guggenheim. Or the aforementioned, I read every stitch of Prop 182 and let me coach you up, husband. On what's going on.
Gina, you should have some insight into this.
Yeah, I think, and Vinny probably has some insight into these fitness freaks. I think it's much less likely that after the Denver omelet, the woman sits down and does a PowerPoint presentation on Prop 182.
Yeah,
I think these chicks, if they want to stay in the Guggenheim with this life, they better get up at 5 and start doing
this. That's a good point.
And that's what they do. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
So there's more of hot model. But remember, hot model and mother of two? Like, she's got,
hey man.
She's got a couple of young kids there.
They have to pop out a couple of kids. That's how they keep the checks coming after the 10-year, you know.
That's
right. I can write a whole book on these chicks.
All right, so you're saying chicks, they don't read the props, but they do work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they do
all
have
hours.
The kids. And is that, again, is she popping off the bike and making scrambled eggs?
Yeah, but after that, everyone goes to school and then husband goes to work. And where does she go? She meets her friends for lunch. What's her vibe?
This is a very small sample to be speaking from. But Christy goes to Bar Method like first thing in the morning. She loves it. Like, she's like, oh, get up and go to Bar Method.
She did that when she was 9 months pregnant.
It's cardio bar.
It's cardio bar. It's
dance workout training.
Yeah.
She doesn't dance, but it's like with the bar and with the whole, you know, stretching and all that stuff.
They took the pole from 10 years ago and made it horizontal.
Yeah. Oh, okay. She goes at 6 in the morning, comes home. I don't think she does anything but she goes straight to the pan and starts making eggs.
No.
So, for who,
you know,
though?
I had this, horrible thought when I was thinking about this. I said, I bet Christy does some of this.
But she goes off to work.
She does a version
of this.
She's
got a job, right? Christy works.
That's why she gets 6 in the morning.
Yeah, these chicks are handing them off to, you know, Consuelo, and they're going off to Starbucks.
Sorry. It crossed my mind that Christy may engage in this sort of behavior,
Brian,
this sort of atypical behavior.
With his perfect life.
Never a discussion of props.
Give me, I knew it, 6 a.m.
Sorry.
And then off to work. And then mix the eggs and off to work?
Right away.
Eggs for who?
For everyone. Well,
She's just, what, she's just taking people's appointments at a nail salon?
Huh? Meaning what?
What is that? Is that what she does for a living?
She's being facetious, and then you're supposed to say no. She has a very good job.
Yeah, she has a very good job. Yeah.
All right,
very successful.
Let's go, Vinny.
She's a leader in her field.
What
you wanted to add to my list?
I'm adding to Adam's list for Adam. You before you die, you want to be running away from something with a woman, and you have to grab the woman's hand to help her along, because obviously two people can run faster
when you hold hands.
Grabs the hand.
Yeah, there is that move. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. It's good. Yeah, you always wonder about that in a movie. Like, he's always two steps ahead of her, but he's grabbed her hand anyway. Yeah. But I'm unclear how that's working.
So it's really kind of slowing him down. Slowing the whole group down.
If it did work, they'd probably do a little of it when they did the relay race. Instead of just handing the baton, the other guy would grab the other guy's hand and drag him. I mean, if you could pick up a little speed.
Three-legged race.
All right. So Vinny is going to coach us all up on how to prepare for the cruise, which is coming up, and then what to eat on said cruise.
Please, because we were lost last time.
As well. Yeah. I will tell you about Varidesk, man. Nobody plans to sit all day, but you do. Vinny will tell you. A lot of these people spend 10 hours a day sitting. That's not good for you. Varidesk, stay active. Make the most of your workday. Transform any desk into an active work space and encourage more movement in your day. Standing is better than sitting. And you go up and down like they tell you. You take one of those six-hour flights. They say stand up at some point, move around a little so you don't get the thrombosis or whatever the hell it is. Stromboli, man. That'll make you fat. Reduce back pain, raise your energy, increase your metabolism, boost productivity up and down. Varidesk. Sit, stand solutions. Put it right on top of your existing desk. Nothing to replace. Try it risk-free. 30 days, free shipping both ways. If you don't like it, you can ship it back for free. Check it out at varidesk.com. That's varidesk.com. Let them know you heard it here on the Adam Carolla Show. These guys are really good sponsors, make a great product. It will change your life. Phone update.
Did it make it back?
No. No, there's no.
Was it supposed to be overnight?
Oh, well, it would have been nice if it was overnighted, but I got the email yesterday saying, it's going to come in on Friday.
Didn't make the cutoff.
It seemed a little late in the day. I didn't want to say anything.
From Nevada?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You can get stuff from New York overnighted.
Is there no one flying or driving back from SEMA that you know?
Not till Friday when... Gary, try to find out what the FedEx overnight cutoff is. And I'm assuming... Anyway...
Because this was right around, 2:30?
But listen, this is probably around 2. It's hard to tell. Look, can we have a goddamn system, people? Mm-hmm. Have a system. Meaning, if you drive a town car, your system should be, when I'm done dropping off each fare, I take a scan in the back seat to see all the things that people travel with. Sure. Glasses, sunglasses, cell phones, what have you, wallets and keys that could have fallen out on the back of the car. Like that is the system. You will have a much better life and you'll be much better at your job if you simply have a thing which is, I drive a town car, I pick up clients at the airport, and then I pick them up at the convention center, and then my system is, after I drop off the fare or the client before the next one, or at the end of the day, I go to where they were sitting, and I give a very, a thorough, and when I say thorough, it means 26 seconds look of the back seat.
That's very thorough.
All right. Obviously, that's not what happened with my phone in the back of the town car. Now, then, when the guy comes in who vacuums the back of the town car, when that person finds it, as a company, can you have a system, a policy, which is, I'm the guy who cleans the town cars at the end of the day. Finding the keys, the sunglasses, the prescription glasses, the wallets, the phones, the chapstick, whatever it is, This has to be an almost nightly occurrence.
Yes, of course.
If you do 10 cars or 3 cars, it's going to happen 5 times a week. Can we have a system? Now, I know your current system is guy goes home and takes a nap with cell phone and tells nobody. That's one system. How about a system?
Not very efficient.
No.
How about a system where you take the goddamn phone and like put it in the trunk? And then the next morning when the person gets the car, they pop the trunk and look to see if it's in there or whatever. There are some system catch other all. Than I take the phone and I go home.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
Okay.
I take the phone, I go home, and I take a nap. Or according to him, I tried calling.
No one was there.
But no one was there. Can we have a system? So then when I call the place and someone is there, they can go, I don't know what you're talking about. And then when they ask the driver to go look in the car, after the guy's gone through the car and taken the phone out of the car, the driver can then go, nothing in there. Can we have a goddamn system? Like, what if you did this for a living? What if you ran this company for a living? Would you not have a system? Or would your system be, whoever catches catch can, whatever you find in the backseat, it's not yours.
But
you get to go home, back to your apartment, take a long nap. And then
wait it out.
Maybe something will happen.
These guys work for tips, right? I mean, they come back to the car. They want to grab your luggage so you can hand them a tip and the whole thing. I think if I was doing this for a living, the first thing I would do is scan the back seat in hopes that I would find a cell phone or sunglasses or something, because
that's ups the tip.
That would easily get you an extra $5-10.
I agree.
I mean, you can make it. Nobody does service anymore. That's right. The guy's job. The job is not driving someone around. The job is servicing whoever's in the back seat and to make that person comfortable. And if you do your job right, then you can make X amount just exponentially over the course of a year. But these guys don't think that way.
No, no one thinks
that
way.
So there shouldn't be a system. That should be the system.
And even just saying to the person, hold on, sir, I know you're in a hurry. I just want to double check that you didn't leave anything. Even just saying that as a courtesy.
I've been in many Lyfts and Ubers now where that's the thing. Once you get out, like, get everything, got your phone, got your whatever, because this obviously happens all the time.
The next thing, of course, was picking up the car and valet. Goddamn Burbank Airport, where the valet is 5'3", has the seat jacked all the way forward.
He's
like, you don't see the guy who's 6'2" is walking at the car, and you weren't around when the seat was moved all the way up to the steering wheel so I can use the sun visor as a headrest. Like, you're not able to do that math where you're just a short little guy and the tall guy's walking at the car and he can't get in the car because you've moved the seat all the way forward. And people say all the time, well, so what? Just move the seat back. You can. If the seat is moved back, you can jump in the car and slide it forward. Right. If the seat's too far forward, it's hard to get in the car.
But who says that? Short people.
Right.
Wow. I would never say that.
Just move the seat. No, you just move the seat back, dick. And don't you see? All right.
Or take a gamble and hit the number one right there and figure that maybe I programmed it for
myself. That's right. All right. This going in the coffee table book, what black people think white people talk about all day. Just hit the memory. Just hit the memory on the jag.
Take a gamble.
Take a gamble. All right, Vinny Tortorich, you're going to coach us up on what to do before we're leaving on our cruise, and then what to do on the cruise.
Absolutely.
4 weeks away, believe that?
Yeah, well, I started thinking about it, and I said, you know, a lot of people, I get a lot of phone calls from your people, and they go, hey, I'm going on a cruise. And the first thing I get is, would you like to come on the cruise and be my guest? And I go with, no, Adam said I can never come.
Yeah, you're banned.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell Vinny party.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm not coming anyway because I get seasick. So
I mean, DTV. Yeah, right. Sorry.
you're used to DADVP. Right. That's different.
Anyway, I started coaching a bunch of these people up, and I said to Gary, how about I give some advice, not so much as to what to do leading up, but also what to do when you're on the cruise. So it's a two-parter here.
Mm-hmm.
The first piece is, look, if you're a month out, there's not a whole lot you can do. You've heard my thing, no sugars, no grains. Double down on that. If you're a guy who likes to drink every day, just cut it down to the weekend and just cut it down to distilled liquors. That'll help. Cut all sugars and grains out. But wait, there's more. There's an exercise component. I always say exercise is a poor way to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
But within that, exercise can really help. if you do exercise the way that woman on the Peloton was doing,
she's hot.
Getting it.
She is hot. Mm-hmm. But she's basically Lynette. She is hot no matter what she eats or what she does.
Got the metabolism.
Right? She's got the whole
got the
thing
bones.
Going on.
Right.
If you do high intensity interval training like the Peloton or go to a boot camp or do anything where you're in your zone four, you're at your anaerobic max. If you're a boxer, if you're going to boxing, you're not going to lose any body fat by doing that. Basically, you're burning off glycogen. You now have to go home and take on glycogen again. Your only chance, there's two ways to do exercise and lose body fat. Number one, good old-fashioned weightlifting where you do a set, you sit around for 90 seconds and do another set and so on. Mm-hmm. No sets in between, no running over to shake ropes and all this
stuff. No circuit training.
No circuit training. Do it the way you would see Schwarzenegger do it or any of the old guys. Do a set, wait, do a set. That's one way.
Counterintuitive. I think most people assume that run, burn as fast as we're just going to burn off those. Maybe we did ourselves a disservice by saying burn calories because you have this sort of feeling of like, I'm going to be an engine and that engine's not going to start and stop. That engine's going to be running at high revs. Right. I'm going to burn it all that fuel off, but that's not the way to do it.
And just like an engine, after all the fuel is burned off, now you can't continue unless you put the fuel back on. But you have a lot of fuel sitting around your waist, and the best way to get it off is to, number one, well, weightlifting is one of the two ways. To failure would actually help if you're in shape to do that, but even more so is what we like to call zone two aerobic exercise. This is when you're not getting someone yelling at you while you're on the bike.
You say to failure. To failure is where the dude with the man bun stands over you on the bench press and you start to lock out about halfway up and he goes, dude, come on, dude. And then he does that weird thing where he taps it with just two fingers. Come on, dude. Come on, dude. That's to failure.
Yeah, that's to failure. Mm-hmm. The zone two aerobics is even more important now.
FedEx cutoff from Vegas to LA is 5:40 in the PM. We all picked up the watch at 2. I mean, the phone at 2, right?
Yeah.
Would you like to borrow my phone for the weekend?
Hey, you guys don't know not having a phone for 3 days is... I don't have like a landline or anything. I've not...
Also, wasn't really mentioned yesterday. Lynette's out of town.
Yeah, Lynette's out of town.
You're just off the grid, period.
I appreciate Matt picking it up and everything, but you got to know that it's got to figure out a way to get it to that FedEx place before 6 o'clock, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
You were saying.
I need to talk on the
you
phone.
You look so dejected.
Because I got the message of, look, the phone's in the back of the car. There's no other place the phone could be. The phone fell out of my pocket or whatever.
How did you end up in Arizona? What's it doing there?
It's in Nevada. It's in Nevada.
He's just there for the day.
I'm there for the day. Like, it's in the back of the car. So the phone's in the back of the town car, and then I get the message, it's not there. There's no phone in the back of the car. And I'm like, I'm going nuts.
So what's it doing at some dude's house?
Oh boy.
Because the dude who cleaned out the car took it home with him.
Not a daily listener.
So he stole your phone.
Kind of. I guess. But then once we finally get our hands, I got my guy in Vegas, Matt DeAndrea. Once he gets his hands on the phone at 1:45 or 2 p.m. or whatever it was, I realize, all right, now we got to get it to FedEx before 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock or whatever that cutoff is so I can have it next day. I'm not in communication with him because I don't have a phone. But it seems to me that he got it 2:15. Thank you. I made a big mistake when I said 2 o'clock, Gary. I appreciate you correcting me on the phone. Hurting the cause just a little bit. Don't worry. Gary, don't worry about that kind of shit. I said he picked it up at 2 o'clock. Do you have to write a message that says 2:15 on there? Yes, you're right. It hurts the story incrementally a little bit, and I appreciate where your head's at, but he picked it up at 2. Okay. 2:15, everybody. So says Gary. 2:15 in how many seconds, Gary? Okay. He picked the phone up at 2, around 2-ish.
I heard of it later.
Somewhere around 2, he picked up the phone. Yes, it hurts the story a little bit to be a little bit later, and I appreciate where your head's at, Gary. He picked the phone up around 2.
Okay.
And now he has about 3 hours, or a little bit less, going to Gary. to get it to FedEx to get it back to me the next day. But we don't hit that window. No. And instead, it's coming in 2 days.
Two.
Now, I just... It would have been easier.
Adam, the last time you were this upset, Sonny was making paper mache for school. I've never seen a vein pop out of your neck.
I haven't had my phone since Tuesday.
Please, take mine for the weekend.
It's aggravating.
Just, I'm begging you. I don't use it.
I don't want to see a bunch of dick pics.
Yeah. There's only three. I mean, why?
I'm just saying, I mean, look, I don't have a phone, so I can't talk to Matt, and I couldn't say to him, hey, it's really important that you get this thing to FedEx before the window closes, or I won't have it for another day, but it's kind of implied, right?
Yeah. Did Matt seem, not put out, Gary, was Matt put out a little bit to having to, like, no, leave SEMA to go do the
Matt,
phone thing?
Matt had stuff to do. Yeah, Matt had things to do, and this wasn't one of them, so I'm not... Like
it's
in the
clear that
screw Matt department,
no,
Matt did a solid, but anyone who's lived in the society kind of knows there's a cutoff on the overnight. Mm-hmm. If you get past that, it's a little tough. Now, if it's Nevada, you might think, you could still do it by 8 or something like that, but no. This needed to be taken care of. Anyway, so no more fun. Anyway, where were we?
Zone 2 aerobic training.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that might be good right
All
now.
Right, so either lift... Until you sort of catastrophic failure.
Yes.
Or
man bun guy. Or you want to do zone 2, which is basically 70% of your aerobic capacity. Now, here's how you take an easy measurement. Let's take Gina's age, 25.
God bless mm-hmm. you.
Okay. You take your age from 180. So we're going to use 180 as empirical data because everyone is somewhere in that category, right around there.
Wait, how do we get to 180?
I'm using
180.
I'm taking 180.
And you back your age out.
Yeah, I'm just using that as empirical data because everybody's somewhere around that 180.
Okay.
What is 180?
Yeah, what is that?
Your top heart rate is what we're calling it.
Oh, heart rate. Okay. Right. So 180.
So 180 minus 25 gives you what, Gina?
Mm-hmm. I mean, 55.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Gary says 56.
So 155 will put you right in the middle of where your zone 2 is. So if you have a cheap heart rate monitor, you can just find your jugular or anything. 155 is where you want to be. If you start going over that, you go into zone 3 and you start burning sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to burn body fat. And it also helps with mitochondria and everything else. It's right where you want to be.
How long do you go for?
That's the key. The longer you go, the more fat you burn.
Okay.
So you want to get
around the clock.
So let me see if I can draw this picture.
Right.
Let's just say one is on the tread. Let's just say I'm a super hot mother of two who lives in a modern castle.
Yeah.
Palatine.
Okay. And
it's 5:45 a.m.
I get up at 5:45 like all hot chicks do, and I start pedaling my ass off. But again, I got to have cheese omelets for everybody right. by the time they come down the stairs.
Ascend the staircase.
The stairs where the stairs just come out from the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no bracing and nothing going to the floor. When the time they come down, right? Okay. I get going on this thing. I want to get going at, let's say, 11 miles an hour with a whatever incline, but I don't want to go 15 miles an hour. That's too much.
Right.
And I don't want to go 9. I want to get right into that spot where we're burning it.
Actually, you could be lower, but you don't want to be at 95 beats a second, a minute. You want to be right. So if yours is 155, if you're at 140, you're good. You're good to go. And you could take 15 minutes to build up to that. I see a lot of these mommies coming in after they drop their kid off. They want to get on that treadmill or that elliptical, and they
just
run in
crank
there.
Crank it out.
And they're pissed because they got stuck in traffic and everything else. And, you know, they just get on and start going a million miles an hour, and all that does is releases cortisol. You just want to warm up, get into it, and then just have a nice
So you're workout. Running on the treadmill. Don't go 15 miles an hour. Go 7 miles an hour and just keep
heart
that
rate.
Pace going. Yeah, except for the thing about the heart rate, I don't think I'm going to be able to figure it out.
It's
well,
very
if you have
easy.
An elliptical, anything you
Most
hold on to will tell you.
Most of them have the little thing now.
Yeah.
It's very simple. You just hold it for a second. It tells you your heart rate. It's very accurate.
I got to tell you, we're at my gym, I can't even work the goddamn TV set. I pick up the remote, I keep pressing it, and it's like on the Spanish jewelry channel, and then it goes, all I want to do is watch the game, but I don't know what number the game is on their... Would we
system, yeah.
Can we do ourselves a favor and if you're running a gym, size up your clientele, and then like the Armenian public access station and stuff like that. Would let's go ahead and delete that from the mix. Or the one where they just sell bad jewelry. Because I don't think anyone running on that treadmill is going, I'm going to run and buy a bad brooch.
Sure. There's an ESPN 2, for God's sake. You put that on there.
Just have the ESPNs and the ABCs and, you know, the History Channels and let us just get it, because mine will just keep going into channels that don't exist.
And then
at some point, you get the DirecTV, you know, customer service thing, you know, and it's like, and you don't know where to go. Should I go forward and push past this, or should I try to get back?
Because you're always like, where does this end? Like, you're getting into the 40s. Like, am I gonna
I can't turn back now.
Yeah. Also, there's a deal with the devil you have to make when you climb onto the treadmill, which is, it'll be on a show that you don't mind watching, but the game's on and you like to catch the game. So you get on there and it's on Tiny Pickers. These are dwarfs that pick out, they travel the country and they pick out antiques.
Are you kidding? You know, about, is that really a show?
I think I made it up.
It could be, though.
It could be. And you think to yourself, that's cool. That guy's got that cool old urn. I wonder how much he's going to flip it for and whatever it is. He got all sets of, oh, it's a jukebox. Oh. All that kind of stuff. And you go, this show's like a 6.5, or it's a show where the guy's building a treehouse or something like that. And you look at that show and you go, this is cool, but the Monday night game's on. Mm-hmm. So you make your deal with the devil. You roll the dice. You go, I'm going to push forward, see if I can find the Monday night game. But now you're on channel 241, and you don't know what that means on their TV, and it's never listed.
Nope.
And next thing you know, someone's yelling at someone in Spanish, and you're on channel 19,000, and you're like, damn it, I want my treehouse show back. But I can't find my way back to the treehouse show.
It's like when you're spinning the wheel, and that Price is Right, and you land on 70. You're like, oh, that's an okay number. Right.
That's the treehouse show. Yes. All right. So lift and lift until you can't lift anymore.
Right.
Or get that, get, take 180 as your jumping off point, take your age, deduct that, get your heart rate at that number and keep it at that number as long
as
you
can.
There,
and that's something you can do year round. And by the way, it's not either or. You should do both.
Or do both.
In one session?
You can.
So which one's first? Does it matter?
Good question. It's always better to do weightlifting first because you have more glycogen for that, and you can just roll on forever on your fat on the other side. So
I would tell
you to do the weightlifting first and then do that.
Okay. Great. Once we get on to the boat, I'll tell you about TrueCar first. Then you tell us what we do once we get onto the boat. TrueCar, man. Yeah. You can buy new. You can buy used. Over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. So whether you're looking to buy new or used, you get upfront pricing, info, discount off a list price, and an even better buying experience. See what other people paid for the car you want. Apples to apples. Lock in your price. Connect with your local certified dealer and enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. There you go. TrueCar, man. Go online, find your car, lock in your price, do what our own Chris Maxipata did, lock in that price, get that Prius or whatever it is you like, and when you're ready to buy, whether buy new or whether buy used, you go with TrueCar. Simple, quick, easy, and you get a little something called peace of mind. TrueCar, some features not available in all states. All right, Vinny,
so
what
do we do once
we hit the boat?
Getting a lot of questions about that. People are saying, the first thing is the alcohol. Everyone wants to go and be bombed the entire time.
Well, drink packets, for God's sake.
And that's fine, but when you think about it, how long are you guys going to be on a boat? 4 or 5 days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like 4 days, I think.
It's impossible to stay bombed around the clock, so you have
Challenge accepted. Dawson would like to call BS on that.
Dude.
He waited for you.
Later, hosen.
Not everyone's a professional like Mike Dawson. So most of us have to take time off. And that's when you can really, you know, get back something. Because you don't want to walk around bloated the entire time. If you drink beer and wine the whole time, you're going to start getting that bloated look. And if you want to go hang out on the Lido deck with Gina in her bikini, I'm dreaming here, then you don't want to have that bloated gut. So it's better to stay away from any of the, you know, the mixed drinks, all the Mai Tais and everything that has the, you know, the sweet stuff in it. That's one thing. The other thing is the boat. I went through the entire menu.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Wow.
There is a lot of, even like the Guy Fieri stuff, they have Guy Fieri burger yes, bars and all this kind of stuff.
Brian tore that place
there's
up.
There's stuff you can
short
do.
Work of that.
Yeah. There's ways to do it all on the boat. And here's what I did. Since it was way too much to do for the show, I got in touch with Parker. And
he books the thing.
He's the guy who booked it. And I said, Parker, what I'm going to do, I'm going to painstakingly go through every menu on that boat.
A Vinnie-approved menu.
Yeah, oh I'm going to do a special NSNG menu
look
that
you.
All of your people on the boat, they're going to all get it so they could follow NSNG the whole time. Because think about it. There's shrimp galore. That was a Bond
seafood,
character.
Nice.
There's also
shrimp galore.
There's crab meat.
Yep,
and
yep.
You know all this stuff. I'm going to give you guys ways to do it all. Enjoy yourself. You can feast out and not get that bloated look.
Right.
And we're going to have the NSNG insignia next to it. And we're going to work
that
out.
That's a good idea.
And I'm going to even try to do a little video that's going to go to all of your people. They can watch the video up front. And they can have everything ready for the cruise. And I want to thank Parker for helping me with that.
I love that.
That is a mighty nice thing to do from a guy who has been uninvited on this
uninvited.
Thing twice.
Uninvited.
Don't tell Vin.
Yeah. Buzzkill Central, man.
Really nice of you, Vinny.
Now, we could also madden ourselves by just watching my buddy Ray pound beers and eat loaves of bread the entire
like
cruise
an
and never put an
and get
ounce.
Ripped.
Never,
yeah.
Just he'll get a little more ripped. That'll be it. That'll be it. And if you really want to kill yourself, you be a fly on the wall when he's arguing with someone who won't believe he doesn't lift every day and he's explaining all he does is smoke and drink beer. And they're going, please don't tell me you don't lift. And he's arguing, explaining to him, you're wrong.
And he takes a dragon cigarette.
I don't lift.
It's
unfair.
It's
really
a breathing game with him.
Imagine growing up with that guy.
That's pretty great.
All right. Vinny Tortorich, everybody. Oh, I'll tell you what we should do. Let's listen to, I got a little clip. I did a take a knee with very famous Susie Orman. Yeah, you love her.
She says, ladies, you are not for sale.
I had a very interesting conversation with her, and you can listen to it. It's out. Is it out yet, Gary, the take a knee that she's on, or is that coming out?
I believe it's out. It may. Let me check.
All right. Well you can subscribe and listen to take a knee, but we'll play a little... minute 45 second clip.
What was interesting is when I told everybody that I was moving to the Bahamas on a private island, building a house, and I'm going to learn how to fish, everybody said, oh, that'll last for 2 months.
Right.
There's no way, Susie Orman, that you can do nothing. And what I really wanted to prove to myself was that I could do nothing, because there comes a day in life, Adam, and I learned this from my mom. I have to say, she died at 97, and from 90 till about 97, she was in an independent living facility, and that, you know, turns into one of those nursing care homes and things like that, and I would always go and visit her, and I would visit the people that were there, and all of them introduced themselves by their name. They did not introduce themselves by, hi, I'm Henry the doctor.
Right.
Hi, I'm, you know, and I started to realize there will come a time in one's life that all they are is their name.
Right.
And all anybody's going to know about them is their name. And not, and because they all are living in this nursing home. So they have nothing to define them except that they all live in a nursing home. They have no, you know, accoutrements of wealth around them, so to speak.
Right.
And that's when I started to think about, well, Susie Orman, who are you really if you don't define yourself by your car, your home, your job title, what you do? And it's an interesting question. Who are you if you don't define yourself by the things you have and the things that you do?
Yeah,
because eventually all those things will go away, Adam.
Wow. It is kind of true. If you're all in a nursing home, you can't bring your Corvette with you, Vinny, and I can't bring my Newman race car.
I've always said, you know, you can't take your car inside of a club with you. You have to leave it outside. No one know what
That's
you drove
right.
up in.
That's why they invented Rolexes, bitch.
Yeah.
Take a knee episodes available now, and also you can see Susie and myself at the Los Angeles Real Estate and Wealth Expo coming up this Saturday and Sunday at the Los Angeles Convention Center. I'll be on stage with Sly Stallone.
I'm invited, finally. Right? You and me?
Yeah.
Hanging out?
Yeah. You can come out there. My son's pumped about coming on.
Oh, so you're taking Sonny and you didn't invite me.
I literally, it sounds so horrible, but your kids don't care about you that much, but every once in a while you get to show off. Mm-hmm. And I think my dad once, when he showed off, I think he got off the sofa once. Another time he boiled a pot of water, put pasta in it.
Oh, no, it's when he played the flugelhorn with his mouth, just the mouth, no flugelhorn.
Oh, yeah, when he just aired the flugelhorn. Yeah. I walked into Sonny's room and he's watching Rocky III, and I just went, oh, I'm going to be interviewing that dude on stage in a couple of weeks. And he went, what? And I said, he doesn't get that pumped about stuff. But I said, yeah, I mean, Stallone, up on stage. And he's like, can I go? Is it a school day? So I shall be bringing him. So look forward to that. Vinny Tortorich, the website, vinnytortorich.com. You can go there for a phone consultation. Also, got the free guide, the NSNG guide, 24 pages, available at his website. And Pure Vitamin Club. This stuff's great. I take it every single morning. It's purevitaminclub.com. All right. Coming up next, we got the guys from... Million Dollar Listing. Let's see. Where is that? Where does it say that? I found that?
It's on there somewhere.
Okay. All right. We should put that on the thing, right?
Yeah.
Where you see it? The Million Dollar... So they sold... I'll find it.
Yeah, sorry. It's on the other one.
Oh, it's on the other one.
Yeah, there's
the swap
you
out.
Two, you got two in front of you.
Oh. I screwed that up?
One for James, one for Mauricio.
Oh, okay. All right. Where does it say Million Dollar Listing?
Oh,
right there,
halfway
middle.
Down.
Smack, right. Smack in the middle.
All right. Hey, Dylan, have I told you 1,000 times, like, put the thing at the top of the... Because I'm going to say the guys are from Million Dollar... No. No, you say one of them is. Oh, that's where it is. All right. But is it up top of any of them? Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it should be at the top of James or Mauricio's, right?
James.
Yeah. Okay. I just had this discussion with Tom from the other shop. Interesting.
About guest bios?
About Dylan?
No,
I'm guessing no for either one.
You guys tell me how much you hate these answers.
Okay.
A guy I bought Newman's first championship car from out in Florida. He sent me a note, nice gentleman, and he said, hey, when I packed up the car and I sent you all the stuff, it turns out there's a set of SU carburetors that were meant for another car that somehow got thrown in with your stuff. Can you kindly ship it back to me? They're meant for another car.
Yeah.
I then said, yes, I remember pulling those out of the trunk when we were like unpacking the car. And I thought to myself, did they run these back in the day? Well, maybe they did, but they seem peculiar. So I said, I know exactly what you're talking about. I will happily send them back to you. Also, I'm feeling... particularly generous and on top of my game because he sold me this car at a very fair price, and then Paul Newman's watch sold for $17.7 million.
So you're trending up
3 weeks later. So I sort of thought, well, let's not jack the guy around. Let's get him his carburetors back. I may even chip in for slow boat shipping.
Look at you.
Matt DeAndrea says he can do it in 9 months.
Yeah, we're going to Florida in a month anyway.
Throw my phone in that box. So I go to the other shop, and I say, hey, Tom, see those carbs, those SU carbs? Go grab them. Throw them in a box. We're going to ship them off to the rightful owner. And he says, all right. And then he says, what's the address? And I say to Matt, okay, Matt, get the guy's shipping address over there in Florida, and then just forward it ahead to Tom. And then, Tom, get those things out lickety-split for the old guy who needs the carbs back. And he says, sure enough. And I said, good, you're going to get the shipping address from Matt Fondelier. Okay. 3 or 4 days later, 4 or 5 days later, Matt and I, earlier today, were sitting around the shop. And I said, Matt, I think, brought it up. We get those carbs sent out to that guy? I don't know. Tom. Come over here. Tom comes over. Tom, yeah, send those carbs out to that guy in Florida. No, I didn't.
Oh.
Why not? I don't know about that address. I said, what do you mean? Matt sent you the address, didn't he? Yeah, but I didn't think it was the right one.
What?
I said,
that's some amazing insight.
All right. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you think it was the right one? I never heard this guy's name. I said, all right, well, that's his name, and that's where he lives, and that's where the car is in Florida. Okay. Well, here's the, okay, so here's the deal. If your spidey sense is tingling, and you think this thing's going to the wrong place,
right. Investigate.
Guess who has to say something?
Follow-up question.
You can't just have a bad feeling about this and keep it to yourself.
You gave it a pocket veto. It just did nothing.
But the thing I like is that they're telling you now, here's what happened. And I'm like, well, first things first. I wasn't walking down the street and you tackled me. I went and called you in from the other shop to explain to me what's going on. So I like the people who do the, yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yeah, but you didn't bring it up. But I saw you eight times and I'm bringing it up. Yeah, yeah. Here we go.
Here's what
I was
going
to
say.
Here's what I was about to say. It's like, you weren't, I saw you four times today. You didn't say anything. And now I'm saying something to you. So we can't have that part where you get to go, that's right. I was about to bring that up.
And the response is always, well, I'm saying something now.
That's Ray's number one response. Oh. We're talking about it now, aren't we? Mm-hmm. That's the one. And then I was going to say something. Now, how is it that Matt and I would know if you said, I need the address, and we sent you the address, and you said nothing and never said the thing? How is it that we're supposed to know this information? And then why is it that I spend 46% of my life circling back to stuff I have a feeling wasn't done, even though what could go wrong with, I need the address, Matt, send him the address.
Yeah, that's
can I be done at this point?
It's a peculiar response, too. I didn't think it was right.
Yeah.
Period. The end. I didn't investigate.
Do you know how many of those folks are out there circling this great universe of ours?
Everyone now.
Everyone now is that way.
That never used to be, though. My question is, what day did it start? Because...
Start on Monday.
No, I'm talking about what day did that start? It
was a Monday. It was 41 years ago, but it was Monday.
We employ a lot of people at Pure Coffee Club, Pure Vitamin Club. And now that I have people around me, less gets that. And it's the same thing. I always go, well, if this is the one thing I figured out, what else is going wrong around here that I haven't figured out
yet? This is where the decree... And I like Tom, and Tom does a good job. I'm just saying, people, rewire yourself if this is your wiring, or start writing stuff down. But this is when Lynette makes the decree, relax. Just relax. You don't have to follow everyone around asking everyone, is this good? Just chillax. You know, I'm like, I would love to chillax. I would love to, except for everything requires a double back follow up
consequences.
Which is now the driver says he searched a car. Your phone's not in there. The phone has to be in there. It's not. It's not in there. I literally just had a conversation with Rob at the other shop, which is that warehouse over there is 3,700. Feet, this one's X amount of square foot, like that. And I just went, you're wrong on both those things. And he's like, that's what I heard. That's what I found. I was like, go find out. And then he followed that. You're right. What can we get a little more? Can people get a little more accurate with their information? And can they figure things out just a little more? Because you have to understand, when I'm sitting around and I'm getting an email from Matt going, driver searched the back of the car, there is no phone there. I'm like, okay, now I'm taking crazy pills because it can't be anywhere but the back of the car.
That's
so what happened? I don't know. There's another box to check where guy who cleans the car takes phone home, takes a nap, says nothing. I don't know that's on.
Exists,
I don't know that's on the table, and I don't know that it's on the table for Tom to go send me the address where you want me to send these carburetors, and we send him the address, and then a week later we haven't heard anything yet, and then I have to go to him and go, what's going on? He goes, yeah, I got the address. Had a bad feeling about it.
So weird.
I didn't know this guy. Well, he said the car was a Bob Tullius car, meaning Bob Tullius is an Englishman from the 60s who built the car back in the day. But it's like, I didn't hear this guy's name. This guy's Bill's name. I don't know who that is. So, I never know if they mean it or not. Like, is this a process? Like, I thought this out. This is how I work. I get these answers from lots
of
people, though.
There's a way to clear this up really easily. Ask. Way to clear it
or
up.
Just
the
assume-
cell phone. The thing that's crazy. Can I tell you how crazy this is? Uh-oh. Everybody has a cell phone, and when I get the answer all the time, like, why Gary at the Home Depot, why'd you get the pink call? I didn't know if you wanted the pink or the white. It's like, well, you have a phone. Yes. Do I have a phone? Well, I used to have a phone. Yes. Just Rob. Not my boss. Yes. How about if you don't know, just call them and go, what should I get? Or just get them both. Or like, what is the thing with the lack of, everyone's got a phone on them. Just pick up the phone.
I can't tell you the number of times, usually social situations, hanging out with friends, we're having some argument or some debate or something. And I'll say, used to be jokingly, now maybe semi-jokingly, boy, if only we had a device in all of our pockets that could give us the answer instantly. Because it's already been like, I think that album came out before that one. Or that movie.
I don't remember it that way.
And it's like, well, if only we had a device that give us an answer instantly.
Yeah, well, there's that. And then there's...
It's the same thing. As,
yeah,
you know,
no, it's you are... You stood in line at Sheet Metal City in Pacoima for 45 minutes, and now you've gone up to the front of the line, and you see this really confusing note, get black anodized sheet metal? That doesn't sound right. Why would I pick that up? You don't know.
I'm leaving,
exactly.
But you have a phone, and you have the guy who told you to pick up the sheet metal who'll pick up his phone when you call him, and you can do it, but instead, you either buy the wrong stuff or choose just to come home. And I've begged everyone, just at that cross, when you get to that intersection, step out, call, the person will say, no, I don't want black anodized, just get the regular stuff, and then hang up and do it. That's a weird,
but you see,
what about everyone who says I'll be at your house between 8 and 10 a.m., and then they roll up at 11:45, and they're just like, well, you got a phone, just, you know you're not going to make it, what? All right, sorry.
I remember I had a job when I was 17 years old. I had a Class D chauffeur's license, so I drove a school bus that summer so I can work out in between the morning and afternoon. And it was a bunch of kids in the Head Start program. And they gave me the route that went all the way down the Mississippi River Road. So these kids would fall asleep on the way home. No one ever told me this, but at the end of my route, I would always stop the bus and walk down and just look both ways to find, and someone said to me, have you ever found the kid sleeping? And I said, no. But one day, and they said, well, why do you keep checking? It's like, because it's going to be on a day that I don't check.
Yeah, because you don't want to murder on your
hands.
No
one has to tell you to do it. My job was to drive the bus, but my job was also to get the kids home safely, not let them roast in the back of a bus in Louisiana sun. Yeah. You know, but today someone would say, well, it wasn't my job. It wasn't part of what I had to do. And the kid would just die in the back.
And it has happened.
So it makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's just Darwin taking out the garbage, right?
Great story.
Fall asleep in the back of a Louisiana bus with a gay nude model piloting the thing.
I do my
You get what you get. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to talk. One of the guys sold the Playboy Mansion, right?
Ooh.
Mauricio or James?
I think the other one sold the Hustler building.
The Hustler building. All right, lots of talk after this.
And now, the Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Good Sports. It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started. NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday edition of Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there, ready to bring it home. Ace, I want to promote because I'm a fan. I'm excited to listen to this one myself. On Monday, you and Chris Long are going to kibitz, and I can't wait to hear the results of that. Love will blossom, I feel, from this one.
I love that you've given it your blessing.
Yeah, well, and also the stories with Howie, you know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a good time you guys are going to have. Anywho, by the way, speaking of a good time, here's a little more plug-in for Adam Carolla. I sometimes get infatuated with a beer. I had, I can't think of the name of it. Can you think of the name of Curio? Who makes Curio? It's a kind of beer. It's that whiskey. It's that bourbon barrel soaked beer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had one of those?
Allagash.
Allagash Cheerios. No, but they're good.
We're living in a time where there's just so much. It's why this country is the best. It's like you just let the free market and all the entrepreneurs and all the young startups, whatever, just take off. And now the landscape is just littered with great products everywhere. Like when I was growing up, it's like you want Natural Light or you want a Budweiser. And it was a big deal. Big deal was the guy who came to the party with the Anchor Steams.
Yeah, that's right.
If you had Anchor Steam, like, oh, that guy arrived. That's a big deal. So about the best you could. The only thing that was, a Heineken was considered exotic.
Yep.
But like an Anchor Steam was like, oh, my God.
That is, now, it is something. Just, like, that is really in from the time that you and I were roughly high school, college aged. It started to emerge in my 20s, and it just was non-existent. It was all those. It was Michelob. The other fancy one was Michelob.
Yeah,
with people brought Michelob. Like, well, I guess Kenny's doing pretty well for himself, bringing the Michelob around.
Also, it meant something. Like, if you, as I said, look, I employ a gaggle of losers who I underpay and they underperform, but those guys can show up with any beer they want at any time, and there's never me going, wait a minute, how do you afford that beer on what I'm paying you? Or there used to be those thoughts. If a guy walked in with Anchor Steam, it's like, oh, that guy's doing well for himself.
Yeah.
Same with the car brands. You go, this guy drives a Mercedes. I think he's doing okay. Like, you would literally, they'd sing songs. You pull up in front of the club driving his Mercedes. You know, it was like a big deal. They didn't have a $28,000 right. Mercedes like they do now, like a small Mercedes or You drove a BMW. You drove a Cadillac. You drove a Mercedes. Like, these things meant something. And if you pulled up to the party in your Mercedes with your six-pack of Anchor Steam, you were the richest guy on the block.
It's so true. So, I've tasted a beer in a bar or whatever. Oh, this is great. And then for 3 weeks to 3 months, I can't drink anything but that. But then all of a sudden, I mean, that happened with this Curio beer, which was so good. That whiskey flavor in the beer. And I drank once. I was like, oh, this must be bad. And I, to this day, can't drink it anymore. Like, I don't know why it just turned in my brain or on my taste buds. Conversely, this Corolla IPA. I mean, I'm wild for it. I'm not jiving you, Ace. I am a rosé guy now. I drink my champagne. Mm-hmm. I drink my red wines. Mm-hmm. That's it. And so you can weigh in on that if you wish to.
Sure.
But in the meantime, I'm keeping myself nice and cool on a hot day with a crisp rosé. Apology coming? No. But I'll mix in some beers here and there. But I've more and more gone to the Pilsners of the world, the good Pilsners of the world. But then I took one of those four packs that you have, the IPAs. I swiped it, and then I put it in the fridge, and then I drank it, and I fell in love. And I thought, is this going to be another one of these things where I only enjoy a couple of them? I drink no other beer nowadays.
It's
delicious.
It's a really good taste in beer. I think, who are the guys at Iron Triangle?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's right.
I just met with those guys yesterday.
It doesn't have any, you know what it is with a lot of IPAs? They taste good on your tongue. They're floral. They have that flowery kind of taste to them. But right at the end, that little aftertaste gets a weird little bit of bitter and heaviness to it, and it's too savory, and it throws the whole thing out of whack for me. Not this one, though. It maintains that nice, light, like I say, flowery sort of flavor to it.
Well, it's a weird thing, which is taste, because taste in many other forms, maybe like architecture or design, needs to be cultivated. You got to earn that taste. You don't just, just born with great design taste. I mean, most people aren't. I think I'm pretty good when I do design and building and structures and things like that. But I've done so much of it that I've sort of refined a taste to it. Conversely, my wife, who you think, oh, the wife's picking out all the, she's picking out the fabrics and the sofa. She doesn't do that stuff. It's not her thing, and she's never refined that thing. It's not, neither one of us was probably born with it. I just have been working on it my whole life, and I sort of have that. Then other ones sometimes are like music. Some of you just hear music. You have good taste in music. That's not, you don't earn it from sitting down and listening to, a ton of Tom Petty or whatever. It's just there, or you have bad taste. So it's weird when you're sitting down with guys who make beer. There's always the one, when you deal with the guys who make beer, there's the one with a little bit of a weird haircut and the weird frames, and then there's the big one, the dude who's clearly... He's getting high on his own supply. Like, there's that dude who's like, hey, I like beer. Look, you could guess he made beer for a living by looking at him. Like, there's those dudes.
The other guy has the pseudoscience vibe about him for beer.
Right. And you're sitting there, and you're talking, and you're tasting, and you're explaining, like, what's happening. And when I was designing that beer, I was saying I want a little more of this at the beginning. There's kind of a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's what it is as you're inhaling and sort of before it even touches your lips, just that inhale as it's mm-hmm. coming up toward the palate. There's the what it's like a second and a half after it's been in your mouth, and then there's sort of how it ends. And I was like designing it, and the guys that are good will work that way with you, and sort of you go, I want it to finish a little smoother, not be so harsh at the end or bitter at the end or whatever, and they'll go, well, that's the whatever hop or this kind of barley or this kind of whatever, we can swap it out or go a little lighter with that because what you're tasting is this thing, and we can back that off.
It's whatever it is. I for one am a fan, and I have poured, you know, I have my kegerator, and I've poured Sierra Nevada from it, and I love that kind of beer, and or have over my life, and this, but I got off of it, like I say, for a couple of years, but your beer has brought me back, so kudos on that. But that brings us to this. Upon further review,
you can go to corolladrinks.com if you'd like to go over there and say hi to Lynette. She's running the whole thing. Go ahead, further review.
Cobor on Instagram submits this one. Upon further review, when it first came into our lives, I don't remember how society reacted to it. I guess in my 20s, I enjoyed, like I say, Sierra Nevada and Anchor Steam and all those, so I guess I liked it. Upon further review, though, craft beer, good for society or no? Consider it some more. You might be biased since you're making it a craft beer, but...
It's good. I have this theory, and I've shared it on my podcast. I don't know if I've shared it with you, though. I have said never been a better time to be poor than right now. I literally had a TV at the other shop go south, and it was like a 55-incher. And, you know, you don't even fix them anymore. And you go, I said to my guy, Rob, or the shop, I said, he works for me. You know, he's not a rich guy. He works at the other shop in the back, you know, working on the cars and keeping the place orderly and whatnot. And I said to him, we got to get a new one. What do we got? What's a 55-incher? $1,000, $1,200? He said, I just bought a 60 for like $450. And I'm like, so you are working, you're basically getting paid like a mechanic / shop foreman or whatever. You're not getting rich. You got yourself a flat panel TV, a 60-inch TV. Look, Elvis didn't have a 60-inch TV in the 70s. They didn't exist. Hugh Hefner and Elvis just had a 24-inch Zenith, you know.
You can watch movies on the phone that is in your pocket.
Yeah, you can drive a car that, you know, you can get a new Mini Cooper S. That thing will have cold, icy air blowing out of it if you press air or just set it to the temperature you want. It's not like, you know, not like, oh, I started the car, I got to warm it up before we leave. And then you just get in the car, turn the key, and go. That Mini Cooper S will be faster 0 to 60 than Magnum PI's Ferrari.
Is that true?
Gary, look it up.
Wow.
I guarantee Magnum, Brian, he drove a 328 and maybe a 308 earlier.
A.K.A. the poor man's Russ Francis.
And that versus a Mini Cooper S. So you'll have a sportier car that has a better stopping distance, corners better, gets better fuel mileage, more reliable, flat panel TV. You have a little surround sound system. You can watch movies at home. You can do anything. Now, have your IPA. I talk to these guys all the time. They're like, I say to my assistant, Matt, what are you doing? Or Paul Bryan over here. Oh, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, we're gonna jump on a Southwest flight. We're going out to the Bay Area. We got an Airbnb. A couple of friends are meeting us there. They have this sushi joint that's out of this world. And but if you go between 3 and 7 o'clock, it's half price. You know, whatever. When I was poor, there was no sushi. You just no sushi. There was no travel.
Yeah.
You couldn't hop. Oh, yeah, no, we got a thing online. My wife booked it. Southwest, $49.
Jack round in the trip. Box but, has two tacos for a dollar.
That was a big hit for me. Yeah.
You seen this new service? It's basically a la private jets, but individual for like $175. You go to Burbank. You don't have to go through security. You don't have to deal with any bullshit. You walk right onto a plane that's smaller than a Southwest flight, but has a bunch of big seats on it. Then you land at the private terminal.
I heard about this. I hear this is a dream, and it's like there's no you delightful. Don't go through the standard security.
Let me tell you the downside. This is why I'm against the abundance of wonderful craft beer. You go, I said to, like, Kalen, 2 years ago, over here back there, mm-hmm. I said, what's the plan? And he said, like, what plan? I said, what's going on? He's like, I got a big TV. I got some Bud in the bong. I got a nice craft beer. I can go eat sushi whenever I want. What do you mean? What's the plan? And I realized I drove a pickup truck with no headrest, had no cable. And drank Natty Lights and was like, I got to get out of this.
Right, which is, the equivalent of you sitting on pins like, I don't know where I got to go, but I got to get out of this.
I need a car with air conditioning. This is miserable. So thus, I was propelled.
Right.
But if I had a craft beer, I may still be driving nails on the construction site.
Yeah, I also don't like, again, there's always going to be an element of pretentious people who talk, you know, it's like anything. People who weigh in too heavily on music about, like, he's the best drummer in the business. Like, well, you know, what are you? I mean, you also, never played an instrument. How do you know it? Oh, he's the best left guard in the NFL. Oh, really? You can watch the game and just, you can deduce how good that left guard is by watching a few snaps. You never played football. You have no idea what you're talking about. Same thing with craft beer. Like,
I got a bunch of beers at the other shop that are like chocolate and hickory and
it's
stuff like
much,
that.
Right.
Jump the shark.
That's exactly right. I also find it pretentious that we now the ubiquity of craft beers and artisanal sandwiches. It's a little bit too much. Everything's not a piece of art.
Zero to 60.
Just a sandwich.
To button up Adam's point, yeah, the 0-60 on the Ferrari 308s. There were several models, but the fastest one was in the high sixes, around 6.8 or 6.9, and the current year's Mini Cooper S is at 5.9. So a full almost 2 seconds.
Never faster. Better time to
That's
be poor.
Crazy.
Never
That's,
better
I mean,
time.
I would never fathom that could possibly be true. All right. Well, listen, I think we did it all this week, Ace.
Yep.
But we'll come back anyway and do it again for you next week on Podcast One Sports presentation of Good Sports. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, another great week. We'll talk to you next week. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, how's it going? Hey, I got a new Urban Dictionary term for you guys. Thought you'd appreciate it. It's called wife privilege. That would be the ability for a spouse, female spouse, to be completely wrong in an argument and still win. Anyways, keep it up. You guys do great. You make me laugh every day. Love you guys.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I'll give you the perfect example of that. Lynette pulled in from New York and was complaining. Man, it took an hour and a half to get from the airport back to the house. And I said, Yeah, that's why you have to time it so you either land at 3 in the afternoon or you land at like 8 p.m. Yeah. And that's same when you leave. People go, I got a flight out of LAX at 10 a.m. And I go, no, don't make it for 7 a.m. or make it for noon, but don't, you'll be sitting in traffic. So I said, that's why. And she goes, I knew you were going to say that.
I go, okay.
Okay.
So we agree.
I guess you're right. Then, but I do say it because I mean it because it's a much better life. James Harris is here. Not the NFL linebacker. He's from Million Dollar Listings. And then Mauricio Umansky. Am I saying that right?
You got it.
I love you on the Real Housewives. I think it's Orange or Beverly. Which
Beverly
one is it?
Hills.
Beverly Hills.
Dude, are you gay?
90210.
I love that show. I love all of them. And just sold the Playboy. Well, not just sold the Playboy Mansion, but half just passed on, which means you just kind of sold the Playboy Mansion because you sold the Playboy Mansion with the provision that Hef could live there for as long as he was here, right?
That was the provision. It was a very interesting transaction. And, you know, unfortunately he passed, but certainly probably one of the most iconic homes in the world.
Yeah. Can you tell us something about the price of that house? Is it published? Is it out there?
You know, I'm not allowed to say too much, but the published price out there has been $100 million, which was the first house to kind of break that number in Los Angeles ever. We've now done it twice, so it's pretty impressive to hit those nine digits, right?
What do you think the half is going to be upstairs did to the price? Like, could you've got...
Usually it doesn't help.
What percent more could you have got?
He's a tenant.
Yeah, like, what do you think if you said he's going to... 30-day escrow. He's out in 29 days.
I don't think it would have affected much at all, to be quite honest with you. I think we ended up with the same number. The value was there. The buyer was the right buyer for it. And, I mean, we broke every record. I think actually having living in your house is kind of cool.
Definitely.
Is that a historical landmark, that house? Is it designated?
I don't think it's designated as a historical landmark, although I would say that grotto is probably a historical landmark
in its own right. Yeah, because I think what I read was that they don't know what he's going to do with the house. That he could change it in any number of ways, which I don't think he could do if it was a historical landmark.
That's well, right. as a real estate guy, and I'll ask James his opinion and Mauricio as well. So it's on a bunch of acreage up in Holmby Hills, right? And you guys know that if you could whack those lots into 4 or 5 parcels and then build some mega mansions times 4 or 5. Somebody could get a pretty good return on their investment. On the other hand, it's the Playboy Mansion. Yeah. Would you ever want to make that go away? So what do you think? Do you think they're just going to keep it as a time capsule? And how many acres is it on?
Well, he'll definitely keep it as a time capsule. And not only that, he'll actually add it to his existing house. So instead of having 5 acres, you're probably going to have like 8 or 9 acres.
So he's next door in the neighborhood?
Yeah. And, you know... It's one of those things where it's a flawless diamond in the rough. So it's extraordinarily rare and extraordinarily unique. So at what point does it actually, you know, are you better off chopping it off into five? It's a 5-acre parcel. So are you better off chopping it up into 5 1-acre parcels, which is everywhere?
Right.
Or are you better off having a diamond in the rough, a flawless diamond that is hard to find and super unique? And what's more valuable, right? Mm-hmm. So... That's kind
They'll
of the
keep it
question.
As the Playboy Mansion.
We'll keep it as the Playboy
I want to live
mansion.
In that world.
I just want to keep visiting it.
But let's be honest, there's value in building 5 houses too. I think a property on Sunset Boulevard, the Alwood Estate, just closed at $90 million, which was just for the land. And they are going to build 3 houses. And they're trying to sell that now for $150 million just for the land. So I think there's value in both ways.
There is definitely value in both ways. But that's an 11-acre parcel.
That's
so you're
crazy.
Talking about, you know, splitting it up into 3-acre parcels, right?
Outsider crazy. Question for like when you're dealing with the ultra rich, the richest of the rich, is it less about the investment opportunity? Maybe is a better investment for your money to break it up and sell those parcels. Maybe you make a little more money. But when you're dealing with that level of wealth that you already have, isn't it, like Mauricio said, worth having something that is literally unique and a one-off? Like there's nothing else like this in the world.
A collector's item.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that baseball or that football, you know, that the collector's item, a guitar or whatever.
For sure. It's an ego play, right? If you're a billionaire and you hold one of the most important iconic properties in the world, I'd
technically
hold it.
Called a panty dropper.
Exactly.
In the business.
Quite literally.
Oh, you may go over the head with the panties.
Yes.
It may be that powerful, that big an aphrodisiac where you actually just go full Hulk
I'd do it
right
if
over
I could.
The top. Full Kool-Aid with full Kool-Aid. So here's something I always kind of think about, and your guys' client, you'll be able to speak to this. There's certain people that just have so much money that it's kind of academic. Now, egos are always involved, and you always want to say you got a great deal. But I, as a guy who owns a bunch of Paul Newman junk, was just watching this Rolex watch that went for $17.7 million, and it's a garden variety Rolex. I mean, its street value is about $250,000 to $300,000. But it's the story. But the record was $11 million. Nobody needs the watch. I mean, obviously, nobody needs any of the stuff we're talking about. But does the person that bought that like the idea of spending the most ever on a watch? Like, literally saying, this is the most that was ever spent? Or does that person wish they could have got it for $10.5 and not broke the record?
Yeah, I think that particular buyer is somebody that wants to break the record, right?
Yeah, because they own the most expensive watch.
Of course. I mean, it's not,
and you
not,
have like you said, $1 billion, so who cares, exactly. Right?
Or you have $10 billion, right. So who cares, right?
Right.
I mean, they start adding, you know, when you start adding $1 billion and then $2 billion, you actually have $999 million in between that $1 and $2 billion.
Wow.
Right?
I never thought
about that. Confusing.
Do you find an... How are you dealing with these guys seconds often, or are you dealing with them personally?
We deal, I think, mainly with them personally. Once we get to the transaction and we get the paperwork done, and now we're dealing with their attorneys and their business managers and their personal attorney. But at the point where we're selling a house, we are dealing with the principals, with the buyer, with the husband, with the wife. We're dealing directly with them. It's a very emotional decision. Mm-hmm. Selling homes is different than selling commercial investment real estate, where you're dealing with an analyst or somebody else. A home is extremely personal. So we get to deal, I think that's one of the best things about our jobs, right, is the people we get to deal with.
And we deal with them every day, and you learn from these people, and they need you because they might be an actor, an actress behind the scenes, but they don't know real estate. So they look to us for our expertise. It's fantastic. So it goes both ways.
I'm curious about the whole sort of cold calling thing. I have a friend who's a realtor who will literally, I could never do it. Mm-hmm. I'm too much of an introvert in that way, but goes up to someone's door and says, hello, this is what the houses in your neighborhood are selling for. Have you considered doing that? And it just seems very uncomfortable. Is that something that you do? Yeah,
it's definitely uncomfortable. It's definitely a numbers game. I believe in every time you hear the word no, you're closer to a yes. And I've door knocked a whole bunch
of
houses.
Works with the ladies as well.
Yeah,
right?
Works with the ladies. That's how I got my wife. But we closed our first ever deal for $6.5 million from door knocking.
Wow.
So it does work. It is a numbers game. And I recommend it if you're starting out in the business, for sure.
So the record, you said $100 million for Hef's place. You said there was another $100 million place. I know there saw a place in Malibu, I think, was going for about $80 million, or at least that's what they were listing. What can you tell us about the other $100 million place?
Well, these properties are getting incredible. I mean, right now in Bel Air, there's a property asking $250 million.
Really?
There's another property in Bel Air that's going to be asking $500
million. 100,000 square feet.
It's 100,000 square feet of space. And I just, I don't know exactly what you do with that much square footage under roof.
It's a boutique hotel, maybe.
Bowling alleys, there's a jellyfish room, there's a nightclub, there's 4 swimming pools, the list goes on and on and on.
How do you find the general affect of these people? Because while being poor sucks,
you stop there.
The other side of it is where you can get anything at any time. It never really, there's nothing attached to it. Like if I just work a little harder this time next year, I'll be able to move up into a 3-bedroom place, in Valley Village or something. Like, there is a weird kind of twilight zone of be careful. Every single one of those movies where the guy finds the genie and gets to have anything they want, they kind of turn out, they either kill themselves or they go miserable.
Those aren't documentaries.
There's a kind of a sweet spot between that and not being destitute. But do you find like these people are just, their general affect, their general demeanor.
So there's a little bit of everything in that. There's a little bit of both, okay? And I always believe that the drive for somebody and some of these great, great billionaires in the world is not about money. It's about competition. And that's what makes the great guys even greater, okay? Because they're not looking at wanting another $1 billion or wanting another $300 million. They're looking at winning. That's what they're really looking at. They're looking at changing the world. I mean, Elon Musk is changing the world, okay? He gets out of bed not because he needs another $100 million. He gets out of bed because he thinks he can make a change in the world. The reward is another $100 million.
Right.
Not a bad reward either, by the way.
I know. That's why when my Dumbo poor family goes, you have $100 million. Why do you possibly need another? Though they say same thing about a second bathroom. Who would possibly need a second bathroom? But it's like, no, you don't need it. It motivates you, not the money. The money is the byproduct. I've always thought, and I've always said, Brian's been around long enough for this. We always say that, oh, women, they love the money. They don't love the money. They love the guy with the motor and the innovation and the hustle and that. The money's
the guy
a
who
byproduct.
To have the money is very, is ambitious.
They,
and
right.
Do they like the guy with no money, but he's an innovator?
Some chicks.
Well,
some
chicks. You know, I think I think they like. Yes, here's what I'll tell you why. Guys in rock bands who aren't successful still get laid.
There it is.
Just because he's on stage and he's doing what he does, man. And there's always the dream that he will put out
cash
at some
in.
Point. He will cash in at some point. The Los Angeles Real Estate and Wealth Expo. You guys are going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going on Sunday. You guys are going on what day? Both days?
We're going to be on Saturday,
correct.
I believe around noon. Is that correct?
We don't have a confirmed time, but definitely on Saturday, yeah.
And talking about real estate.
Yep, that would be.
I make sense.
Well. Got an exotic animal.
All Rolex watches for $17 million.
I think, and I don't know why there's not much discussion about it, but it's like I was poor from 0 to 30, and then when I turned 30, I met Jimmy Kimmel, and I started making money. And the second I started making money, I bought a house. Like I couldn't buy a house faster. And I literally, I was living in an apartment. I owed the IRS $4,000 I'd been making payments on for like 5 years. I paid them off. I saved up $50,000, and I immediately bought a house. And everyone said, what are you doing? You're in a topsy-turvy industry. Mm-hmm. You don't know if your show's going to get picked up for a second season or what's going on with your radio contract. You don't have a radio contract. And I just went, I'm getting a house. I'll figure it out. And then I kept saying to everyone, I'll just sell it. If it doesn't work out, I'll sell it. But I think it will work out. I'll make it work out. And I got it as fast as I could. And I see people all the time, they got an apartment on the west side. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to squeeze the trigger on a house because it means they got to move north of the or south of north
east of 405.
Yeah, right. They got to go Ventura Boulevard. And they got to move into the valley. They don't want to live in the valley. They're like Johnny Drama. They don't want to come into the valley. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't get to own a house on
or
the
they
west
have a
side.
Ferrari in their
right.
Their house,
yeah,
like.
I got a Ferrari. You're right. And I go, just get that house. Just get it. And so once you get it, you can start using it and parlaying it and selling, getting value, moving, sweat equity, moving to the next one and credit and everything else. I don't know why there's not more of that. Like I would tell my kids, fast as you can, soon as you can, get that house.
Well, it's the American dream, right? Number one. Number two, it's about starting a nest, right? Mm-hmm. You start, you know, to have the pride of ownership is amazing. When you rent a house, or you rent an apartment, you're not doing great things to it. You don't care if it has a pink wall or it has an onyx, you know, ugly something or other. When you own something, you start caring about everything that's in that house. You start caring about each wall, what piece of art, and there's a pride of that ownership that goes with it. The only danger in home ownership is over leveraging yourself. Okay, and then you get into the wrong timing. If you can own a property long enough to where you just are able to withstand a recession, you will never lose money in real estate. Uh-huh. The question is over leveraging and being forced to sell at the wrong time. Okay, forced by a bank, forced by a foreclosure, forced by something that's out of your decisions, your control.
What is over leveraging? When you owe more than you have the ability to pay over some amount of time, or
correct, or you take out 90% loan, you put 10% down, you can't really afford the 10%. All of a sudden, you lose your job, the recession hits, and now you're forced to make the sale.
But one of the most important things is getting on the property ladder. There's no question about it. I was broke until I was 30, very similar to you.
You met Jimmy?
I met Jimmy, and the rest is history. No, but the second I made some money, there was an FHA loan where I only had to put 3% down, and I bought a house for $675,000, and it meant putting in $35,000, and I got on the property ladder. And I believe that you rent a house and you buy a home. And when you rent, it's not yours. And when you buy, it's your nest, and it's where you start to build. And one of the hardest things to do is get on the property ladder.
Well,
I agree with that.
Yeah, and that's the whole sort of cycle that we talk about. You know, we turn this sort of poverty cycle into some sort of race issue or something. It's really just parents. My parents come from poverty. They think like poor people.
Yep.
And as I've said before, you know, when I was 30, I was living in a house with Ralph and Cortland, and we're living Ralph of Kevin and Bean. Cortland's producing TV shows now. We're renting a house in La Crescenta, and we were paying more in rent than the guy's mortgage was.
Yep.
Yes.
I know we were. And we're all just sort of sitting around in this house, and I was, you know, I was 29, 30, and I was a good carpenter, and I worked hard and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't have credit, and I didn't have any money saved up, and then whatever. And if one of you were my dad, you would have got a hold of me and go, look, what are you paying for rent? What are you making a year? You're good with your hands. How about some sweat equity? What can we do here? Let's get you a junker over there in Sun Valley. We'll rent to these two guys. We're a room for these guys can move in. They'll pay you the rent. What do we got to get together for the down? But you never had, I'd have conversations with my parents all the time. Like, oh, I'm living with these guys, paying rent. It's like, okay.
I think that, you have to keep it in mind that if you're paying rent, you're paying somebody else's mortgage.
That's right.
Right? You're building somebody else's wealth, right?
Not your own wealth. And I'm for sure this guy was paying $1,175 a month and we're paying him $1,500 a month.
For sure.
But it's not – the difference isn't am I hardworking or am I able-bodied or am I smart or am I dumb? Is there somebody in my universe – and there wasn't any – but is there somebody in the universe who can come up and go, what do we got to do here? How do we make this happen?
Formulated game plan.
I will co-sign. We'll get you a loan. Let's get started. Like, that's the difference between the haves and the have-nots. Right.
Changing the mindset.
It's a lot of education and race and all sorts of stuff. It's not that. It's that cycle of nobody knows what they're doing versus no way am I going to let my son, when he's 30, flop in a house with three other dudes. That's not going to do it.
Well, you guys are literally changing my mindset right now because I've never owned anything and I've never thought, I'm not allowed to. You know, I don't have enough.
Just got S-can, so reel it in. Plus, you're a girl. Let the guys do the thinking.
But when I was super gainfully employed, and God willing, we'll be again soon, you just think, well, that's for other people. That's for people who are ready to raise a family. That's for people who have this amount of money. So you just think, well, it'll always be far off in the future. And I don't want to think like that forever.
Oh. And you shouldn't think like that forever. The truth is, the first deal I ever did, I bought two condos with $5,000. I did a 95% loan. I bought them for $100,000 each. I put $5,000 down on each of them, and I sold them 3 years later each for about $180,000. Right. So if you analyze that, I actually made $80,000 on a $5,000 investment.
God.
Right. And I was renting them. I had somebody else paying for the mortgage during that time.
Genius right there.
I have a related follow-up question. For a lot of people in Los Angeles specifically, but also I'm sure in San Francisco, many big cities, like a condo is the only realistic first step. Would you recommend that? Or is it kind of skip that step and go straight to the house?
No, I think it's really about getting on the property ladder. No matter what you buy, where you buy it, obviously you always have to have resale in mind because you want to make money, not lose it. But it's about getting on the property ladder. And I think it's important for people to know, and I hope I'm not mistaken, the government do offer first-time home buyers an FHA-assisted loan where you only have to put down 3% up to a certain amount of money. So if you are thinking about it, it's definitely a safe place to park your money.
All right. You can learn more at the realestatewealthexpo.com, realestate Wealth Expo. Couple of tickets left for Saturday. We'll be ships in the night. I'll be coming in on Sunday. Shall we do a little news and you guys jump in? The news, by the way, brought to you by Tommy John, man. Love me some Tommy John. Big news, brand new revolutionary wallet-friendly underwear. Save that money for that down payment. Yeah, it's a perfect passport. Tommy John. You want to enter the Tommy John world? It is the best. They simply make the best product, especially if you're listening to Vinny, you're hitting that gym. Wear those under your gym shorts. There's nothing better. Amazing innovations. Horizontal quick draw fly, contour pouch, and they come with the no wedgie guaranteed. Engineered from a multi-directional stretch fabric. It's anti-odor, moisture wicking, and will never ride up. They're just the best. And even though there's a lot of copycats out there making something that kind of is the same, they're not the same. The Tommy John's come down a little bit further. They don't ride up on you. You feel like $1 million, and it only costs 10 bucks at Tommy John. They know it's difficult. You don't want to try new things. It's just 10 bucks, and you'll get the first pair covered by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guaranteed. Dawson.
Go to TommyJohn.com now to check out the complete line of Go Anywhere underwear, shirts, and socks. Use code Adam and save 20% on your first order. That's TommyJohn.com, code Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com, code Adam.
All right, here we go.
Shall we? Let's do it.
The news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, losing the World Series wasn't the only loss Dodger outfielder Yasiel Puig suffered Wednesday. Don't know if you heard about this poor guy. While the Astros were busy taking away his dream of being a champion, a thief was busy inside his house taking his jewelry. Police say,
pretty rough.
Yep.
Bad
night. Police say the burglar broke into his home through a window, which triggered an alarm. But by the time the police arrived, he had already made off with some jewelry. However, security cameras inside the house captured the crook, so police should hopefully be able to catch him. Puig left the Dodger Stadium after the game and arrived home, where he had to cap off his night by talking to the cops.
Pretty rough.
Yeah. They knew where he'd be.
Sonny,
they knew he would be home.
So he's happy about it.
Why?
I don't
he's
know. He doesn't like
he's
how
a,
he celebrates.
Yeah.
Sonny doesn't like any of that stuff, and he was enjoying him throwing his bat down.
I like Sonny a little
last
more
night.
Right now.
He doesn't like the showboaters.
It's good. Good for him.
Yeah, and he hates black people. But I was explaining
he's
to him.
Cuban.
Now. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say to him.
Well,
no, the
we're
kid's 11. I'm trying to coach him up, you know. But I was saying to him,
wow.
No, that's not the number one thing. It's
yeah,
the, mostly
like
the
cost of
the show. Top three.
You know what? I don't want to throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
But I said, he's Cuban.
Enough.
He's Cuban.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
Said,
dude,
black and white photos all the same.
Yeah, he hates.
Wow.
You know, he doesn't like the throwing of the bat. But I got to say, if you're going to either rob an athlete or cheat on an athlete, that's the time to do it during the season.
Very focused.
Not, game day.
Not,
well, you
there's
know
no chance
are.
Of him
yeah,
coming
exactly.
home and catching you with the pool man yeah. and or catching you breaking in the back window.
That
right?
radio that's host.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't
we
know.
Tape these at all different times,
yeah,
so
that's
nobody
true.
Ever knows.
Well, first it was Harvey Weinstein, then Kevin Spacey. Now you can add Brett Ratner and Dustin Hoffman to the list Ooh. Of men being accused of sexual misconduct. So I'm just going to give you each of the situations real quick. So a Canadian actress model is launching a $4 million lawsuit against Harvey Weinstein, Disney, and others that claim he sexually assaulted her twice in 2000. She filed as Jane Doe. The woman says the now disgraced producer, quote, pushed her onto the bed, took his penis out, forced down her skirt, and held down her wrists.
I'm starting to think he has a big honker. Because when you're begging people to watch you in the shower, that's not a micro penis move right there.
That's the guy with the big biceps going around. You don't need to draw dumbbells around here?
Yeah. And that's more like, isn't it hot? No, it's hot.
It's
I'm taking my shirt off. Yeah, no, that guy has big guns, and this guy's got a big honker. Mm-hmm. If his plan is watch me in the shower to everybody, right?
Witness this.
No micro phallist. No micro phallus dude says, watch me in the shower, do they?
I don't think so.
No.
Get to the bottom of that. No.
Unless he likes to wield his power so thoroughly that you will watch my micro penis, whether you like it or not. Please don't, Brian.
All right.
Okay. Next, Kevin Spacey has the opportunity to enter rehab for sex addiction now that Netflix has suspended production of House of Cards. His rep said in a statement Wednesday night, Kevin Spacey is taking the time necessary to seek evaluation and treatment.
It's going to be funny. Every new series is going to star Scott Baio because all the good actors are in rehab or in Arizona or under. This is a window
under
open.
Investigation.
The window's open, Scott. You're fine. He said, now, back to Scott Baio and Kirk Cameron. Like, they're just going to take over yes. every acting gig.
Prime time.
Every other one just has to be either heading for rehab.
It's going opposite directions. It's all Charlie Sheen, and it's all, like you said, the Scott Baios and the Kirk Cameron's. Because, no, you can't have no dirt on Charlie Sheen you can dig up at this
point. Charlie's happy
Everyone
to tell you.
Everyone knows all the Charlie Sheen dirt.
Yeah.
Well, right. It's going to be a great opportunity for women to really start getting into Hollywood now, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's plenty of space.
Yeah. yeah.
So, meanwhile, moving down the list, six women have accused Brett Ratner, the director of Rush Hour film series X-Men, and The Last Stand, of sexual harassment and misconduct. Ratner's lawyer categorically denied all of the accusations on his behalf, but that didn't stop Warner Brothers from suspending their deal with Ratner's company. And actresses Olivia Munn and Natasha Henstridge went on record. Henstridge told the LA Times of how Ratner forced sex on her when she was still a teenager. Munn has repeatedly told the story of Ratner pleasuring himself in front of her. Since the story's publication, the journalist said another 20 women have reached out with similar accounts of Ratner. And finally, Dustin Hoffman. He was accused of sexually harassing an intern on the set of one of his films in 1985. Her name's Anna Graham Hunter. She's a writer, says that when she was 17, the Oscar-winning actor groped her and made inappropriate comments about sex to her. She told The Hollywood Reporter, quote,
can I ask this? With the groping, now we've opened up rape to everything, assault to everything. Like, I put my hand on your shoulder, that's assault.
Yeah.
Groping. Has this been opened up? Because I don't feel, and I know a lot of abrasive, sort of bad dudes never have ever groped. You know, like, what is the grope? What does that mean? How does that work?
I would think, personally, for me, probably to consider it a grope would be to aggressively go at the swimsuit area.
Yeah.
Define aggressively. My arm, my leg, my head, you know, that I wouldn't consider you having tried to grope me.
Does that work for anybody? I can't. I Mauricio. See. I'm assuming. Yes,
you're married. Married men over here.
You guys, yeah,
not for me.
You guys win the groping Olympics.
Well, all good.
All right, but
I think Brett Ratner's grandma lives. Doesn't Brett Ratner live with his grandma? That'd be very awkward. To
take
a girl back and your grandma's there. Yeah, that's just awkward.
Did she? I mean, this is Dustin putting his hand on her thigh. This is not.
And talking about sex.
And to your point earlier about, I don't want to minimize someone's experience from 1980s, but we're painting them with the same brush. You know what I mean? And clearly Brett Ratner is allegedly perhaps a racist.
Rapist? Oh my God, Brian.
And Dustin Hoffman, I'm not minimizing it, but this is not the same.
Well, like you said, in the hierarchy. Brushes. So this is what she said to The Hollywood Reporter. She said he was openly flirtatious. He grabbed my ass. He talked about sex to me and in front of me.
No, it's all unacceptable.
It's unpleasant.
No, but it's also
not very nice.
Listen,
you shouldn't
when
do
we
it.
Were look, I had look. There, first off, who amongst us? I worked at the Man Show when they were trying to convince me that Natalie Maines, the lead singer from the Dixie Chicks, was in love with me.
Awesome.
When Jimmy was pulling a prank on me, it was based in some truth. Or at least some factual stuff. We won't get into it. But the point is at some point, they needed a pair of panties to be sent to me in the mail. And they did not have time on their side. And they said to our, like, receptionist or something, like, we need to borrow your panties. And she, like, but she was in on the joke. She took the panties, like, went to the bathroom, took the panties off, and, like, threw them in a box, and they put them on my desk. Now, that would not look very good in transcript form.
I was going
to
say
today. Then
Adam Carolla admits
it was a joke. It was a joke that she was in on. If Cousin Sal was wearing panties, we would have pulled them off of him. There's that stuff gone on nonstop all day, every day in this town, but also out of this town and in almost every business. Now the question is how do we want to spin all of it?
Well, and it depends. It depends on the person. I mean, I worked in night radio for many years, and I was cajoled by a couple of nighttime hosts to take my pants off and get on a scale for a bit, and I was happy to oblige because I thought it was funny.
Right.
So but it now, just now, depends
but on did the you feel
I have a bit idea.
Water displacement.
We had to, we did, wanted to see how many pounds of show we were.
Did and so does this person felt threatened by Dustin Hoffman and then sat on it for 30 years?
Well,
I'm just saying, like, I yes, what?
Breaking, Gary just sent me a headline from the New York Post. It says, she claims she asked for his food order and he replied, quote, "I'll have a hard boiled egg and a soft boiled clitoris."
Wow.
I mean, that's not funny.
No, Brian.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. How about something a little happier?
All right. I don't know. Do we feel like we need to lump Dustin Hoffman on the group of deplorables, the guys who are doing the raping? I'm saying.
Worse for Brett Ratner. Are these stories coming out or no one being surprised?
I don't know the man.
I think this was the biggest, one of the most...
Worst kept secrets.
One of the most unsurprising stories to come out.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't know. What's he do? Comic book movies?
He did Red Dragon. He did Rush Hour. Is he the Rush Hour?
Yeah.
Jackie Chan.
Slightly above average movies.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Slightly. Well, let's get in a better mood here. Jimmy Kimmel, he's been letting other celebrities fill in for him this week. He's tending to his little guy, little Billy, who's going through another procedure. So Dave Grohl took over for Kimmel the other night. Actually, it was a Halloween episode. He dressed as a spot on David Letterman, while his guest Kristen Bell dressed as Magnum PI. I personally, I don't think anyone would have been able to tell it was Dave Grohl. Nobody. But the reason everyone's still talking about this episode is because Kristen and Dave did a rendition of Frozen's Do You Want to Build a Snowman that went from sweet to hardcore when Grohl ran over to the drum set in the middle of it. Then the song went into Enter Sandman. Here's just a few seconds of it.
Do you want to build a snowman? It doesn't have to be a snowman. Okay, bye. Do you want to build a snowman?
All right, around the halls. I think some company is offering you. I started talking to the bitches on the wall. Hanging their jaw, it gets a little lonely. All these empty rooms, just watching the hours tick by.
Oh.
Pretty fun.
Yeah, I've had... First off, Letterman was banging an intern or two. Mm. How is he... I mean, we already discussed it, but...
Well, he kind of got out in front of it, really took the heat for it, and everybody moved on.
All right. That's the move, everyone. Get out in front. But he was banging interns and got out. Mm. All right. They may find some time for him in this whole mess. We never know.
Yeah,
we're going to
double back on that.
Gary, you got to look at Jimmy's schedule and figure it out. I'm no good on websites, so here's what I got. I got my daughter going, we want to go to Uncle Jimmy's show. I want to take my friends. I want to go backstage and whatever. And I was like, yeah. Okay, we'll figure it out. Then she wanted to go this week, but then I hit her with, no, Jimmy's gone all week. He's got guest hosts in there. And then she comes back. Then my wife pipes up. I said, look, Billy's getting an operation. And then Lynette pipes up and goes, no, Billy's got the flu and Billy can't get the operation. And then she's going, fine, Jimmy should go back to work then.
Oh,
and
I said,
no, but she's, I know, she's harsh. She's like, no, but she's gone all week. Well, so what? I said, look, just pick a day next week. He'll be back to work and we'll find a guest. You got to find a guest that you want to go to on that day. And I tried to go online, and all I could find was Dave Grohl's David Letterman, but I couldn't find, like, upcoming. It's weird, because you hit schedule, and it gives you the schedule of ABC, or schedule of the one that aired, or here's what's coming up on Nightline, but shouldn't there be a here's what's coming up Monday, Tuesday of next week?
Next upcoming guest.
On there, where they, like, hit schedule and find, you know, when, like, you know, Gwen Stefani or somebody's coming on, and then I'll bring Natalia or when Jimmy's coming back. We got to figure it all out. Let me tell you first about LifeLock. Have I brought this up today? No? Equifax, man. They had a breach, man. They've added 2.5 million people to the list, and Yahoo's 2013 breach impacted 3 billion accounts. Let's not let that happen to you. You got to get LifeLock. Thieves can buy your info on the dark web, use it to open new accounts, commit crimes, even steal from your 401k. Now's the time to get the protection with LifeLock. I've got it. The aforementioned Natalia has it. Sonny has it. Lynette has it. The whole family has it. You got to get LifeLock. It is, oh boy, you guys know. First house, when I went to go buy that first house, I showed up to get the loan, and they looked at the computer, and they're like, ooh, it says here you had a like a lien or put on a check that was issued to you from Warner Brothers from like 4 years ago. And I was like, oh, no, I had a payment thing with the IRS and they made a mistake and they gave it back to me. And like, it says that we got a levy here. And I was like, when your credit gets screwed up, they don't fix it. They just, it just,
it keeps going.
It goes on there and it just keeps going. Do not let it happen to you. Get LifeLock. Their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats and alerts you if your info is being used. It is. LifeLock, Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more than if you're just monitoring your credit. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use promo code Adam, that's Adam, for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right, what else we got?
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Gary, does it find, is there scheduled?
It's not, they don't have anything out there. I'm reaching out to, I'm going to get the information for you, but.
You don't have to, I'll just hit whoever. But is it kind of weird that Denison have, like, who's kind of lined up for next week?
Typically, they have a week ahead, but all the websites don't right now for this show for some reason.
They got to make it easier on us. I mean, that's not cool.
Thank you.
All of us who want to visit.
Yeah, I have a super entitled snot-nosed daughter who wants to hang out with Uncle Jimmy.
Most of the other shows have information going well into next week, but Jimmy Kimmel Live does not.
I think Jimmy...
Maybe it's depending on if he can be there or not.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. All right, yeah.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver have been separated for more than 6 years, but they are still not divorced. Shriver filed for divorce on July 1st, 2011, several months after word got out that Arnold fathered a child with their housekeeper. According to TMZ, Shriver is anxious to finalize the divorce, but Arnold is holding it up. Their kids are now adults, so there's no custody agreement delaying things.
That thing with him, that just means he's more man than we'll ever dream of being, right?
Testosterone's still,
in what way?
Still going.
He's just wandering around his 8,000 square foot home going, there's an extra vagina in here? Yeah.
I'll go take a look.
Delia's over there. Have I filled it?
Well, I've not been in it yet.
No, okay. Well, then I got to do that because this is my house and that vagina is under my roof. And that's the way I roll because I have a lot of testosterone.
Yeah. Well, their lawyers have spent 6 years trying to split up $400 million, which they have amassed over their 25 years of marriage. So
James will sell you
rush.
Half a house.
Absolutely.
On the Bel Air. Bel Air adjacent, not in Bel Air. But
don't get greedy. Sell you a house anywhere.
This $400 million. Let's be honest.
This sounds pretty easy to me. It sounds like 200 and 200.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know what they're spending 6 years figuring this out.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like
she came in with her own cash.
Yeah.
She's Kennedy money, and he was doing okay for
Terminator
himself.
Money.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I sold him that house.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Wow.
There you go.
You may sell it again.
You never know.
Also, I always wonder with the lawyers and this sort of billable hours part of the whole thing, and they're both on the billable hours clock. Like, what is their incentive for getting this thing finished off and put to bed?
Yeah. It's the best clock going right there.
Right.
Let's double check it. Exactly. Well, Adam, I know you hate stuff like this, but I got to talk about it anyway. The Westin Hotel at Times Square in New York is now serving what is believed to be the most expensive bagel in the world.
Mm.
It's $1,000. It's from New Yorker Bagels. It's topped,
golden.
Yep, topped with Alba white truffle cream cheese, goji berry infused Riesling jelly, and of course, gold leaf flakes.
All right, so everything else totals $17, and then you add the gold. I've said this a million times. You can't take a 73 Chevy Vega and say it's a $1 million car because you put a $1 million gold ingot in the goddamn glove box. Right. It's not a $1 million car. New rules. You can't make the most expensive martini by dropping a diamond into the martini. I will go with most expensive anything. It has to be the sum of the ingredients.
Right. Well,
or yeah. It's got to be a pizza the size of Idaho. Like, but
that truffle
but
cream cheese might be something.
Okay,
that's $100.
$17. Yeah.
Whatever, but it's you adding a precious metal and or setting a diamond on top of it.
Yeah, you're right.
Or saying it comes in a Learjet is not do it.
I'm right. Actually upset that it's the Westin that's selling this thing, right. And not like the Four Seasons or something.
The Ritz or something like that.
Yeah.
Good marketing play.
The Westin. The Four Points.
Well, to stay on the fancy gifts tip, Neiman Marcus just released its Fantasy Gifts Catalog. Here's a few of the gifts available for the people on your Christmas list. So, Mom, maybe she's interested in the $300,000 trip to Zambia to visit the largest emerald producer in the world and walk away with a personal, here we go again, 7.2 carat emerald. Maybe Dad wants a VIP trip to the Ryder Cup golf tournament where he can hang out with, I'm sure I'm going to say this wrong, golf legend Jim Furyk.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. Just $250,000. And for your friends, consider throwing a New Year's Eve bash at the Knickerbocker Hotel above Times Square.
That one you mispronounced, nope. But I don't want to tell you how to fix it.
Keep going. We'll fix it in post.
$1.6 million. So you might just want to invest that with your closest
friends.
What
do they have, Gary? Do they have cars in there? They usually have a car or two for you to buy as well. I don't know where you guys are at. I'll never have enough money that I could buy like a belt at the Caesars gift shop in Vegas. Like I would never go to the Neiman Marcus catalog and just go, I'm buying a gift. Now, I have enough money to buy a gift from the Neiman Marcus catalog. I just would never. Same way with I'd never buy a belt from the Caesar's Palace gift shop. Like I've decided no matter how much money I have, I'll never have that money. Yeah. Or I will never spend money that way.
You don't want to.
I don't want to.
Some people enjoy getting ripped off. They love it. They go in and they overpay and they love it. They can say they did it.
Wow.
I get it. I guess it's a deal of we started with this. Like, you're not going to run out of money anyway. You like doing things that make you feel like you have money. And what better way than to light a cigar with a $100 bill? Like, when those guys do that, when Floyd Mayweather lights a cigar with a $100 bill, he's doing it to let himself and the world know how much money he has. Now, we would never do that because there's Bic lighters. Mm-hmm.
But those are the clients that we want, though.
But maybe that's why he's 50-0.
Yep.
I mean, maybe it's that kind of belief or that kind of attitude or that, mm-hmm. I mean, he hasn't lost the fight. Maybe it's that sort of self-whatever.
There's got to be something there.
The mentality.
Right. All right, one more.
All the cars this year, by the way, are is a Rolls-Royce Dawn's Lago di Como Blue.
That's a color. It's a Rolls Royce.
Sorry, it's spread out weird here. Okay. There's two different ones there. That appears they're drop top. I can't tell if they're ghosts, but there's
how much
there's
do they want for them?
There's two specific colors. One's $439, $625, and the other is $445.
All right, there you go.
Maybe they're right. Why'd they have to add the $625?
Yeah.
It appears the model is a Dawn drophead coupe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's talk some discounts since we've been talking about all this expensive stuff. A bar in Israel is offering women a discount when it is their time of the month. On Mondays,
Bloody
Tuesdays.
Bloody Marys. Hey, bottomless.
Yep. Well,
ain't got time to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
God. Oh,
Gina. Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, the Anna Lulu Bar in Tel Aviv is offering Bloody Hour. It's a happy hour for those with the flow. Just tell the bartender it's your time of the month. You'll get 25% off your bill.
Yeah.
Not to be too gross. They're never going to ask you to. There's no verification.
How do you check?
No.
If she throws a glass at you and starts crying, right. She might be.
Yeah.
I can't get my rings off.
She might be ovulating.
I'm no canine expert, but I think they could train a dog.
Yeah. Sniff it out.
It's just wrong, guys.
This one ain't science. You know, they're right there. God, yeah. You know what I mean?
Fido's barking at you. You can have your 24% off, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's good for both. Both sides,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
She needs to get away from the guy, have a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in Israel.
Yes, Tel Aviv.
Okay. Was I laughing? Oh, I didn't. Oh, wait. You guys were here for
So are the guys at Bloody Marys? I have a quick question. Are the guys at that bar staying away from the girls that are getting discounts?
Oh, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Let me see that check before I talk to you.
There's got to be like a sitcom scene where the guy's getting out of pickup truck going, what do you mean? It's a ladies' night. We're going in. That's the best night to go in. No, don't do it. No, what are you talking about? You go for ladies' night. These other guys that go for sports night, there's a bunch of dudes. It's a sausage fest. Ladies' night? That's where all the ladies are. Now,
you're
come on.
Be sorry.
We're wasting time.
Bartender, look to buy that woman a drink. She's getting a discount tonight.
Hello, my doll.
What? Get away from me!
All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. The news was sponsored by Tommy John's. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. I'll have a hard-boiled egg and a soft-boiled clitoris.
Gina, Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
How do you feel like... Dustin is screwing around there.
Yeah, he's a notorious prankster and a jokester. He does impressions.
Is he a notorious prankster?
Yeah. No, you ever seen the old footage of him doing like Bob Evans and stuff?
No.
And he was a funny
also,
guy.
If he ever assaults you sexually, it'd be like a spider monkey trying to hump your ear, right? Like you could just throw him off. Throw him into a ceiling fan and have him sail out a window. Like, Gina, you make short work of Dusty, right?
You're probably right.
Hand him a grape when he scurries away.
He grabs it and runs. He grabs a piece of jewelry and runs into the tree. he's 128 pounds.
Yeah, he's
like,
knee
there's
high.
Nothing you. No definitely means no. Like when Brock Lesnar, no means he'll think about it. But with when it comes to Dustin Hoffman, no means no. And that just means you can literally just cast him
just
off
flick
you.
Him.
You flick him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Where was I? Geico, man. How about you save hundreds of dollars? Why don't you do it on your car insurance? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. It could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. I'll tell you what, you take that extra money, you put it in your pocket, or you put it toward that down payment, as previously discussed. So you want to save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, just go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, let's see. Sunday, November 12th, us, Oxnard Levity Live with Doug Benson doing a live podcast. And then Tuesday, November 21st, over at the Ice House, we'll be doing some live potting there. Me and Dennis Prager in Brooklyn, New York at the King's Theater, November 29th, up on stage. Go to Corolla Drinks, say hi to Lynette, and get some merch over at adamcorolla.com. The Expo, the Los Angeles Real Estate and Wealth Expo, I'm going to be there. Stallone's going to be there. James going to be there. Mauricio's going to be there. And Susie Orman and Tony Robbins and Pitbull and Magic Johnson. Man, ooh, what a weekend. Go to... the Expo website, go to realestatewealthexpo.com and come say hi to us over the weekend. So, thanks you guys for coming
thank
in.
Thank you for having
thank you.
Us.
So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for James Harris and, let's see, what is it? Mauricio Umansky, everybody. Did I get that right? Yeah, I got that right. And Gina Grad and Bald Brian and Vinny Tortorich saying... Mahalo.
You will watch my micropenis, whether you like it or not.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter and like him on Facebook at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail with the questions, the comments, the whatever you want, meant 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take Me. Susie Orman on the show. This time around, just click the link at adamcarolla.com. Live podcast coming up, Oxnard on the 7th, Pasadena on the 21st. So get your tickets and everything else at adamcarolla.com.